Hey, what's poppin'? It's a new week with the Drew and Mike Show from the DealsMD.com studios. Following a lionless Sunday. What a crazy weekend nonetheless.
Yeah.
Seems like you take a day or two off, even if it's the weekend, and there's just a bazillion things that just come up.
Do you miss not having the Lions on?
No, not really.
Really? I kind of do.
I mean, I do, sort of, because it's sort of on the schedule.
Yeah.
But not like I miss Michigan and Michigan State on Saturday.
I know you didn't reply to my text when you said if I, I forgot how you asked it, but do I miss not having them for 5 weeks?
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's 5 weeks without a disappointment, so.
You miss me?
Maybe that's just my pessimistic, nature. Come on, yeah, they would have lost one game in those five, and I would have been pissed off about it. So
I thought about that, actually, and I realized that I remember feeling sort of the same way at one point. I think I got so used to pulling for a losing team or a mediocre team that, when they suddenly got good, it was just a gift. It was like, this can't be real.
Well, I've set my expectations this year at 4-4, so it should be easy to beat those expectations.
Well, then you should be happy if they're 5-3. I don't think you will be, but you should be. Just kidding. The Hokies, by the way, only 15 people out with coronavirus this week.
Wow, they're getting better.
Only 15. I swear to God, I don't understand. This seems like it should be a big story that we lead the country in coronavirus, and what are they
Virginia
doing?
Virginia Tech, tremendous school.
Why are so many players getting infected? What the fuck is going on?
That's a great question.
And I asked my old roommate, the 6'8", John Big Money Green, played hoops when I was there. And John,
who's that dude?
John's still there. Great guy. Great guy. That sounds like Big Money. Anyway, Big Money got no money. Big Money was a big better back in the day.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, backgammon, sports.
Backgammon?
Yeah, he loved backgammon. Oh, he's good backgammon.
Oh, man, I'll challenge him. Let's go.
Oh, he'd love to play you. But anyway, Big Money said, they're just being really cautious.
Oh, okay.
Which I was like, well, John, if they're being so cautious, why do they keep getting coronavirus like 20 guys a week? Oh, well.
Anyway, how did he answer that?
He just said, it's not like the SEC. He made it sound like the SEC guys are all playing with coronavirus.
Oh,
I'm not sure it was
not reporting it?
I'm not sure it was really a conversation I would pay too much attention to on either end.
Well, wait, Clemson's had a lot out, haven't they?
Yes.
Maybe the SEC and Clemson have gotten theirs all out of the way early.
That could be.
Who cares?
I suppose. But anyway, I blame the loss on racism. I love crying racism when it benefits me.
Okay.
Because Herndon Hooker, the quarterback who played so well last year, he got coronavirus. He missed a couple weeks of practice. So they go with this white guy from Oregon, Burmeister.
Mm-hmm.
And Burmeister, he's played well enough.
Who the hell is that?
But Herndon Hooker won the job last year. Hmm. And Burmeister, when they were beating Duke last week.
What the hell are you talking about? Herndon who?
Herndon Hooker. Burmeister fumbled the ball on the Duke 15-yard line with like a minute and a half left, up a touchdown. I thought, okay, that's the end of him because Hooker is healthy again. So what happens? They start Burmeister. They go 3-and-out the first three drives. They're down 21-0. They put Herndon Hooker in at halftime,
and
they rage. 20 consecutive points. It's 42-30.
I'm not a racist.
It's 42-37. And then they end up losing 56-45.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Anyway, if not for Justin Fuente's racism, Herndon Hooker would have started the game and we'd be 3-0.
Is anybody calling him out on that?
No.
No.
No, I haven't seen anyone say that yet.
Oh.
But I really, damn it. Anyway, it was a fun Saturday because
I was. That's pretty racist, but correct.
I was looking forward to the game. Sort of on Friday, I was like, oh my God, we're playing number 8 UNC. I just haven't been paying
close
attention.
Number 8 UNC. They're going to be in a top 5 team, and look at the teams they've played.
What do you mean? They played Virginia Tech?
Okay, that's about the only team they've played.
Well, who's Michigan played?
No one.
Okay,
I don't think they should be ranked either.
All right, well, then make fun of them. They haven't even played a game. At least UNC's out there. They're in the arena. So anyway, I was psyched for the game.
Like, Michigan!
yeah, a football game that seems to matter. I mean, I knew it wouldn't really matter, but it seemed like it did. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then SNL killed on Saturday night. It was like an old weekend, sort of.
It's a great episode.
Not quite, but sort of.
I was telling Brandon before the show, it's really funny how, you know, the story, I think the USA Today had the story of how I had to turn the channel because people were so upset with Bill Burr. And I'm like, that's just really funny because all you ever heard from other people was, I had to turn the channel. SNL's too woke, and now they're not woke enough. It's just annoying with Twitter.
I swear the country is just mentally ill. I mean, honest to God, I read a multitude of stories this morning about Bill Burr. Oh my God, how dare he say this? Like, fuck all of you. What is wrong with people? And
his monologue was fantastic and was perfect.
Yeah. It was really good.
Even if he did steal one of my jokes, but that's okay.
He did.
What joke did he steal?
Oh, just the whole hating white women thing. Mine was younger white women, so I'll cut him some slack. Plus, he's funny and a professional comic. And I'm
Hey, where are the white women at?
Chris Rock killed it last week.
It was great.
Jim Carrey, the whole thing with The Fly cracked me up. But SNL, you know, there was all this sort of upset over, they're using real actors and professional comedians. What's going on? It's like, yeah,
wait, what? They're mad because they're using real. Oh, because they're not using cast members?
Aren't part of the cast.
So what?
Well, I think the show's just changed. The show was going downhill. It wasn't doing very well. They started inserting these big names, and it seems like it's kind of coming together now.
I just love how everybody is the executive producer of SNL.
Yeah, it's an awfully tough show to do. You can tell how old you are by how you feel about Saturday Night Live, because I think people in their 30s are probably going, well, it sucks now. They should cancel it. People in their 40s are going, they're in sort of a rough stretch. I don't know. It could be over. And then older people are going, they're just going through the cycle. And
it'll all be okay. Does it just depend on who their host is?
Not always.
Because they write for the host.
I mean, I think it helps to have Chris Rock or Bill Burr. I mean, how much better a host can you get besides them or Dave Chappelle? And then, you know, to have Jim Carrey on the show, holy shit, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jack White was pretty good.
Jack White was awesome. Thank you, Morgan Wallen, whatever your name is,
for not adhering to their COVID-19.
No hard feelings against him. By the way, I felt bad for him because he was apologetic.
Sure,
and they just boned him. And I kind of felt
the viewers won.
Couldn't they?
We all know the viewers won. No. It was a way better musical act.
It was a win for me personally. Absolutely.
I was so excited that he did Ball in a Biscuit, which is, it's like my favorite White Stripes song, mainly because I think it's their longest one. It's like a 7-minute song, because every other White Stripes song is like 3 minutes or 4 minutes, but it's just an old bluesy song. Did you like that he also played his Beyonce song with it?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
I just love seeing two guitars and half a drum set. Just absolutely kick-ass.
So
and no dancing people. No dancing people. And it was plenty entertaining
for me. Nothing drives you more nuts than people dancing.
No, I mean, if they had dancing people, okay.
Dancing.
But I mean, I like music for music, not for the dancing. The dancing doesn't do it for me. If the person, you know, spreads their legs and, you know, has an orgasm with themselves, it doesn't help me any. Sorry for liking
dancing,
music.
My penis off.
I mean, if you want to dance, okay, but I still want to hear good music that I like the sound of, that appeals to my brain. That's all. Go ahead, dance. If Jack White danced last night, whatever. Still sounding
good. I don't know about you, sweetheart.
He can shred that guitar, man.
Okay, when did
so
the...
good.
See, I was confused. I watched the show this morning, and I thought, they didn't really mention Eddie Van Halen. But Brandon said they did.
Yeah. Well, first off, Jack did a very short version of Eruption during Lazaretto, the second song. He also,
it's like 5-1.
Yeah. Well,
I thought there'd be something about Eddie Van Halen.
Well, there
Look
was
how quick this was, you know, during the performance. So, yeah, it was.
Did they mention him? Did his name get mentioned?
No, so after that, they came out of a break, and they had – I don't know if you ever heard the story about when he played with G.E. Smith.
Yeah.
In the Saturday, they had a clip from when he was playing with the band.
Oh, they did run the clip.
Yeah.
At the close?
I think it was after Lazaretto or out of that break. Maybe, right, yeah, maybe before the close.
Doesn't he deserve better than the end? 1 o'clock? Nobody's watching at 1 o'clock,
Did they actually play
SNL?
No,
they didn't. Yeah. They never played on SNL, which is also, well, maybe they turned them down.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band with my best friend, Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, it was when Valerie was hosting.
This performance is weird, too, because G.E. Smith
is trying to upstage him.
He does. He jumps off.
I know. What is all this kick in the air and all this crazy shit?
And G.E. Smith always had a weird face to me. When I was a kid, I always just thought he was weird.
He's in love with his hair. I mean, seriously, he married his hair.
He's a hell of a guitarist, too.
I mean, if he's having sex, he has to look in the mirror and see his hair in order to have an orgasm.
He told a story, though, about this day, because Valerie was hosting, and so Eddie just came down, and he was bored out of his mind because he had nothing to do, and so then he found where all the musicians hung out in the musician room, where G.E. Smith said, you can basically do whatever you want, drink or smoke, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so that's when he was allowed. G.E. Smith was really tooting his own horn, that he had the power then to invite anybody on to jam with the band during the show. So,
you know, he so needs to get over himself, G.E. Smith. Oh, my God, I've never seen such love for oneself.
His own hair, yeah.
Yeah, and his hair primarily, but, oh, my God. And I watched a thing, because I was looking for Van Halen on SNL. Were they ever invited?
I don't know.
You know, I have a feeling, you know, I told you the story about going to see Van Halen in Roanoke when I was working at WVT College Radio, and they're like, man, you can't play Van Halen or AC/DC. That's so mainstream. Get out of here. And I wondered if SNL was a little too snobby for Van Halen at one time.
Oh, I don't know.
Because they used to have...
Were they snobby?
They've always tried to be cool, you know, ahead of the edge. And have they really had a lot of... How many heavy rock people have they had on when they were sort of up and coming?
Well, the infamous... Rage Against the Machine performance.
Yeah. But I think Rage has always been critically acclaimed, haven't they?
Well, so has Van Halen.
Not really. Not that way. Not like that. I think people love Van Halen. Van Halen sells records. I mean, they sell millions and millions of records. Van Halen's a huge act.
Yeah.
But I wondered if maybe they just didn't think they were that cool. I mean, David Lee Roth is not cool.
Sound like...
No matter what anyone says, he is not cool.
What?
No, David Lee Roth's not
cool. No!
Eddie is cool.
David,
he's absolutely cool.
David was pretty cool.
No, he was not playing for you. He was playing for chicks. He was always playing for the chicks.
Yeah,
every
cool.
minute, every preen, every stupid comment was for the chicks.
All I've got, I had to steal.
He was so cool in Jump, that Jump video. And the one where he's mountain climbing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's wonderful.
I'm being kind of facetious, but he's pretty cool in the greatest music video of all time, which is Hot for Teacher.
Oh, yes.
Brandon, back me up.
He was the lead singer for Van Halen. He has to be kind of cool, but
now,
not the coolest lead singer. I mean, for as cool as the band was, he's far less cool.
Oh, sure, because the coolest part of that video is when Eddie's doing the solo, walking down that long table towards, what was the kid's name in that video? Was it Poindexter or something? Milton or whatever? When he's playing and he freaks him out? That's such a cool shot.
I want to know.
I'll tell you all about it.
I really want to know if SNL ever invited Van Halen on, because I'm really stunned they were never on. They were on Letterman.
Yeah.
They were on Letterman. So
were they, or because I know Eddie played with Paul.
They were on. The band was on, and I believe they played a couple songs from Balance, which were sort of forgettable, but I thought they were good. I mean, I just don't remember radio playing these songs a whole lot, and maybe I'm wrong. So... And Eddie, playing with the band, was having a ball, by the way. He was absolutely smiling and having a great time with Paul in the gang. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eddie's, man, he just rocks.
That was a sweet performance. It was weird how Paul was doing the lyrics with the keyboard.
Yes.
He's such a goofball.
He's jumping all over the place like badass keyboard player.
Yeah, I was getting more feedback, too, over the weekend. I think people tend to run a little behind in the show about Valerie Bertinelli and how... She just wants everyone to know that she was in love with him. You may be fucking him, but we're first loves or something, you know, to that effect. Because the post was clearly shitty. I don't think anybody can deny that. was not respectful of his wife.
Maybe.
But she wanted everyone to know that they were each other's love of their lives, I guess.
Sure.
So, whatever. You know what it reminds me of, though? And I read, somebody sent me an article about this very topic, and it was about how people who are, you know, madly in love, and then maybe they have these ugly split-ups that when the person dies, that all of a sudden it changes radically, and their behavior is, like, great example, Cher. I don't know if you guys remember this, because you're younger than I am, but Cher used to rip Sonny a new ass every chance she got. And then when he died, she's like, oh, Sonny, I love Sonny. Oh, Sonny's so wonderful. I mean, it was like, it was all about her.
Snap out of it.
Cher sure has gone downhill.
And I think it was the same phenomenon. It was like, he was loving my life. I was loving his life. I mean, everything that happened to Cher happened because of Sonny.
Well, maybe she shouldn't have been such a bitch to him.
She was a total
maybe
bitch to
him. Maybe people shouldn't be assholes to other people.
And there's a long, long line of stories like that where the person dies and all of a sudden they're like, oh, but it was wonderful. I really was mad.
Paulina Pliskova.
Yeah, there's another one.
Good point.
Hey, water's everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher. Look for water in your home, not just floods, although it's worth noticing a flood. Water's the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you if you call 877 job done. Put that number on the refrigerator. Or visit 877jobdone.com. Emergency Response Services Incorporated. If it's an emergency, they're probably the people to call. Storm damage, fire damage, mold, COVID. Maybe you just want to clear COVID from some service vehicles or a workplace. Emergency Response Services Incorporated, 877-JOB-DONE. And Royal Oak had a crazy weekend. They were about, let's see, I think it was $6,000 in redemptions on one night. Over the weekend,
wow.
Which in $20 means, how many is it? 300 people?
It's a gorgeous weekend.
Yeah. So they had a fantastic weekend. And we'll be probably talking about the winners of $1,000 pretty quick, because that ends Sunday night at 11:59. So people hearing this, it's probably that may have passed. Or you may rush to Royal Oak, take a picture of yourself in front of your favorite downtown Royal Oak business. Tag it, downtown_Royal Oak. Use the hashtag MIDowntownDay. Five winners going to get $1,000. So that's over Sunday night. It's the 11th on Sunday, right?
Today's the 11th.
Yeah, so that's that. Congrats to the winners. I'm sure we'll hear all about it soon. And those of you with the $20, keep spending. So I was sort of meandering through my weekend, and something really weird happened.
Uh-oh.
And this has happened before, where all of a sudden you hear something about a former high school classmate, and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. What? And it used to be, for example, I remember when the first person from my high school class died.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, I had that this week, and my chemistry teacher died.
Chemistry teacher?
He was riding his bike, and a car hit him.
Oh, no kidding. In Ann Arbor?
No, Northeast Ohio, Sylvania area. But it's like, oh, wow.
Did you find out about it when it happened?
No. One of the friends posted it on our chat board. But it's so random, and I haven't thought about Mr. Turner in, you know, damn near 24 years, 25 years.
I
seemed like a good guy. I liked him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did a lot with the chemistry I learned in high school, clearly.
That's what's so strange about it is it's usually you just don't find out when it happens because, sure. You know, you scatter all over the place. And especially, I don't, for some reason, my high school people are just all, well, it was a big class. There were 1,000 people in my class, 4,000 in the high school.
Oh.
So people got really just moved all over the place and got married and had kids and settled down. Anyway.
Goodbye, fucking shit school.
I do remember the first guy in my high school class who got his driver's license. His name was Dave Kenzel. We called him Beef. I have no idea why. Beef Kenzel was pretty much what people referred to him as. He was a running back. He was very powerful.
Why the beef?
And Beef was like probably...
That's so stupid.
Where's the beef?
Come up then. Put my beef in your taco.
He was probably 2 years older than anyone in my class. Because he got his license. I could swear we were in eighth grade and he had his license. And he's driving everybody everywhere. And, you know, when you're a freshman in high school and somebody sneaks a few beers in a party and You know, he's the one guy I can drive. So he's like just driving all night, taking people home, picking people up. And it's like, oh my God, Beef's got his license.
Should
he's
have called
so
him
cool.
Uber.
So anyway, Beef was a crazy driver. Not only was he a football player and a pretty good guy, but he's a crazy driver. And I heard this in like 85 or so that, yeah, Dave Kinzel got in a crazy car crash and died. And I thought it was like, oh, it's got to be an urban legend.
Where's the Beef?
Well, he did. He died in a car crash in Odessa, Texas. And then 1981.
And you're just finding out now?
No. Oh. No, I said in 85 or so. Oh, I heard this, and I didn't even believe it.
Yeah.
And then it was very, and you know, we didn't have the internet. So how did you find things out? Just by hearing from classmates. And, you know, I wasn't in touch with people all the time, but just the Triple Threat Trio and such. Then in 1995, a guy who was the star of our football team, and we were, I think, in the state semifinals.
The guy I know.
His name was Dale Estabrook. And Dale was super duper fast. The quarterback was Rich Weiss, who played at University of Illinois.
Okay.
In 78 to 81. I think Gary Moeller was made. No, Gary Moeller got fired, and he was like, he raised hell. And I think the new coach moved him to defensive back.
Oh, no.
And that was like the end of him.
Well, he's fast.
He was. No, Rich Weiss was an amazing athlete. So Estabrook was, all I remember is his parents were really rich. I don't remember everybody by their cars, maybe because I didn't have one. Dale had a souped up like 68 Camaro. He also got his license early like Beef.
Was everybody jealous of him?
Absolutely.
Hey, it's the quarterback, the good looking fucking piece of shit who sucks.
And he was a star football player, so all the chicks dug him, and his parents were loaded, and he had this incredible Camaro. And what else could a guy need? When he's 16. And he's got the early birthday. Fuck you. He had it all. And he hung around with guys that were pretty tough. Used to get in fights and stuff. But anyway, Dale, you know, he grew up. He went to college and matured. And his father ran some museum corporation, I think, like Museums International. I don't even know what it is, but apparently made a ton of money because they lived right across from the Baha'i Temple in Wilmette. A beautiful area. Mm. Huge house. Beautiful house. And Dale had some, I think it was like a penthouse in downtown Chicago, of course, because he's Dale Estabrook. And I think he worked for his dad, and he was partying on the roof of this penthouse.
Oh, no.
What else do you do? And he fell off.
Oh, no.
Yeah, was impaled and died in 1995.
Oh, my God. And this is what you just found out?
No. Oh. No. Not even
when
getting
did you
to
find
that.
Out that?
I'm getting, I found out about that shortly after because...
Oh my so God! Funny. How awful!
Because in you know these tiny towns like I lived in, we had I think it was called the Pioneer Press. It had like the local paper for our town, the local paper for the next you know they had like the Wilmette Life, the Winnetka Talk, the Evanston Journal, you know all these and they would write about the high school sports and all that.
Yep.
So anyway, in the Pioneer,
that's a nice place.
In the Pioneer Press, somebody I'm not saying who, but somebody took out a full page ad, you know. Basically saying what a wonderful guy Dale Estabrook was.
Oh.
Jim Irsay.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. No, Jimmy's like that.
He was impaled?
I believe he was impaled, yeah. I looked it up this weekend because of this other thing that happened, and I couldn't quite find details, probably because it was just so bad.
Whenever I hear an impaling, I always think of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Brandon,
absolutely.
Remember that movie?
Just remember What's-Her-Face breastfeeding the baby because I got to see her boobs. It wasn't her baby,
what was
though.
Her name?
She was with Cruise and Risky Business.
She's smoking hot. I can't think of her name.
Way hot. God, I wonder what she looks like now. I haven't seen her in a million years.
Oh, that would be a clickbait on TMZ. Remember, blank?
It would.
See what she looks like now.
This is going to drive me crazy. Who are we talking
Rebecca
about?
Rebecca DeMarais?
Yeah.
She was gorgeous. Great scenes in Risky Business. So this weekend...
Rebecca DeMarais, yeah.
One of my high school friends referenced... This something happened to this guy I knew named Don Webster, who was a good guy, a really good guy.
The guy
in high school.
I know.
He played football with Dale Estabrook.
What was his nickname?
Webby.
Webby.
Webby. Of course, Webby. Webbs!
Should be Donnie Dubs.
It was Webby. And Webby, I think I might have been because he had Webby hands, because he caught everything.
Or his name was Webster.
I believe he's number 85. Well, I think the combination, the Webby hands, the spider web receiver, and being named Webster, I mean, it all seemed like fate. He's a good receiver. He went to Kenyon College. He was a smart guy, real, you know, real good grades, real upstanding, always. He was just one of those guys you sort of knew was headed for something good.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know what. He went to Kenyon College, and I guess he got into writing there. And I had no idea. I would expect him to be a businessman. I'd expect him to be running a Fortune 500 company or something.
Sure. Well, he had to put those webs to work.
But Webby was into writing, and in fact, his moniker was Donovan Webster. I didn't even know his first name was Donovan, to be honest. And he... What is this song?
The theme song to Webster. Did he write Webster?
No, he did not. Donovan Webster was way above that.
What?
He wrote about... he traveled the world. He wrote about... Iraq war. He was a war correspondent to Afghanistan.
Really?
He went to Saudi Arabia, Islamic North Africa. He was assigned by the UN to report on the tsunami in 2004. Was
great
that or 2005?
Wow. What a
I mean,
great
he was
career.
Amazing guy. Yeah, he wrote books. He made films. He did everything. And meanwhile, he got married, had two kids, and by all accounts, including his wife, he was a wonderful father, coached their baseball and soccer teams. And it was like when he was home and he was, you know, that 100% dad. And then he would get this crazy assignment. And usually they were crazy and many of them were dangerous.
Yeah, he's got quite the Wikipedia page.
Oh,
he?
Yeah.
Huh.
Absolutely.
An accomplished person.
Yeah. And that's a great word for it. Accomplished. And he wrote about himself because of something that happened. And I think it was 2018, and he said something like, you know, I felt like I was at the center of the world, and, you know, sort of like, you know, he was running his life, and it was all going well, and mm-hmm. all the things he wanted to do were happening, and, you know, he loved his wife and his kids and so on and so forth. So, and by the way, Webby, if you see a picture of Webby, he looks a little like Richard Gere. I know since he got older, didn't he, with the glasses?
I'll show Facebook Live picture of him.
The here. Specs?
Oh, my computer failed.
Hi, Richard.
So anyway, Webby, and this is perfect for a writer. He lived in Charlottesville, which is hell for a Virginia Tech fan, mm-hmm. but it's also the home of the University of Virginia and a great place to live. I mean, Charlottesville is a beloved place. And in fact, God, he does look like Richard Gere, doesn't he?
Yeah, I hear. Let's try that version of him.
I haven't seen him in years. Years. But yeah, he looks good, you know. And then what happened to Webby was, I'll just read it out of his own article. He said, late in the afternoon of August, maybe I can read something before this too. Okay, here's it's 2017, I believe, and he says, every evening I've taken a walk, just see the stars and the moon, and listen to that. Okay, you can tell he's a writer. Where I live now, there's a little more than 70 acres of Virginia farmland to kick around on, patrolled by an owl that, on some nights, I hear glide from the woods to hunt rodents searching for grain near an empty horse shed. It's not my farm. Good friends have lent me a guest apartment at their place to stay in for as long as I need it, which is generous of them because for 21 months I never got to see the stars and the moon because I was in prison.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't know any of this. I mean, I didn't know about his incredible career, and then I didn't know about this. Late in the afternoon of August...
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Don't do that to Webby. Late in the afternoon of August 14th, 2014, in the mood to celebrate a potential two-book publishing deal, I decided to take myself fly fishing. Went over the mountain from where I lived then to Central Virginia to the Shenandoah Valley. Very familiar to me. That's, you know, driving up the Shenandoah Valley to play James Madison back in the Hokie days. And it's actually a little north of there. And also part of my territory when I was selling for Continental Can Company and later Stone Container. And an easily accessible trout stream, I put four beers in the car thinking, why not? When I got over to the stream, the afternoon sun shone hard in the water and the fish had yet to start moving in the river shadows. Oh, he is really the writer, isn't he? I mean, how can he help himself?
Yeah.
I scouted the location a bit and finished two beers as I listened to the car radio. Then I went down the street to the local fly fishing shop, talked to the guys who ran it for an hour or so. Back at the river, there was still nothing going on, so I pulled a third beer out, knocked it back. Then I took out the fourth one, popped it, and began thinking, you're probably getting close. I decided to scout a shaded stream on the other side of the mountain. I'm sure the fishing people are getting off on this, aren't they?
He's really setting the scene.
Driving back down the mountain on a blind turn, I glanced down the road to check my speed, and at once everything changed. Because when I looked up, A blue car suddenly appeared from behind the curve and was now right in front of me. The man in the blue car was named Wayne T. White. He was a husband and a father and a grandfather, a farmer and a churchgoer. He was said to be an exemplary human being. Up until that day, I had a pretty good career, traveling the world's war correspondent, author, and sometime filmmaker. I'd get pretty much anyone on the telephone or to answer an email. I felt myself at the center of things. I know. There were quite a few oohs coming
out. I have a pretty good Rolodex.
While the descent from that lofty place to a state prison might have felt sudden, the sky didn't fall at once. I'd spent the previous two decades being paid to look directly at things that made most people avert their eyes. I'd witnessed bloody rebellions in Africa, covered war in Afghanistan and Iraq. I volunteered to cover these situations, the bombing, the torture, the beheadings, all of it. Then I'd go home to Virginia to sit in a room by myself, sort it out, write it up, and I'd loosen the screws at night with a couple beers and a glass of wine at dinner. Reporting was my passion, but as I got older, the stuff I had begun to collect in my mind was increasingly difficult to get away from. Then came the tsunami. I was sent across the Indian Ocean basin by United Nations as part of a team to report on the aftermath. The assignment was different. Everything was gone. No houses, no trees, nothing but bloated corpses, mostly naked. The violence of the tsunami had stripped away the clothes of the victims.
What happened? Thousands
of them rotting in the sun. Inside the zone, we all wore surgical-style masks. If you didn't, tiny particles of dust and rotting human flesh blown on the wind would attach themselves to your teeth and tongue and the roof of your mouth. Well,
Gross! Quite
Bill Shakespeare.
Tremendous amounts of water.
Not surprisingly, the weight of those things took a toll. A few months later, I began to have debilitating panic attacks. Since 2007, I've been diagnosed three times with post-traumatic stress disorder. It happens to reporters as well as soldiers. Psychiatrists prescribe Lexapro for depression and anxiety, Valium for low-level anxiousness, Xanax for full-on panic attacks.
That's really interesting, though. I wonder why the tsunami as opposed to all the other horrific stuff he saw.
I know. I wondered that myself.
Kids, maybe? Women?
I think just a lot of bloated bodies.
People on vacation as opposed to a war? Kind of
yeah, maybe. I mean, it just came to them. I mean,
yeah, that'll fuck up anything.
It was really. I mean, none of it's fair, but that's really pretty outrageous.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
I took trazodone to help get to sleep at night. Drugs turned me into Mr. Magoo, so I put them aside and instead began hitting the sauce harder. I never saw my drinking as out of control, but slowly, like a cresting wave, it was getting less and less manageable. Though I ran between 5 and 7 miles a day. See, Webby was still athletic. I mean, he looks great in the picture.
Did you ever know him to have smoked weed in high school?
I did not. He was not that type. He was not in the cool crowd.
Well, he sounded cool. I don't know. Sorry, he wasn't cooling up.
He did not party.
I just wonder because he's taking the other stuff to go to bed and.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. No, curious. He was not that kind of partier. He was like a football player, beer drinker. And he wasn't like a hustle chicks fight kind of guy either. He was a good guy. He was a really good guy. Though I ran between 5 and 7 miles a day, my body wasn't as good at alcohol anymore. A phenomenon doctors say isn't unusual when we enter our 50s. It's weird. I've seen people. Have you seen people go from drinker to alcoholic? Have you ever seen that phenomenon?
Let me think about it. Probably not.
It's very strange because
I feel
somebody
like full blown alcoholic. If I realize it.
Usually it's not like it in the 50s. That seems unusual to me. I do remember when I was in my maybe late 30s, there were people who were fun and liked to party. They were always a blast. And then all of a sudden they weren't so much fun. They were more sour. They were too drunk. They were
always
debilitatingly drunk. It wasn't funny anymore. And it's really sad. And then, you know, they're stuck. Then they're just stuck. You know, it's over. It's like rehab or forget it. And I know, like, Gio, my Greek buddy, who's 2 years younger, he's had three friends who've died recently. They're alcoholics. They just couldn't quit drinking. And every sign in the world was telling them to, including, you know, losing job after job and all those things.
It's a disease, man.
It's bad. I think alcohol is the worst. I really do. I think in terms of damage.
Alcohol?
Yeah.
Probably. Although I don't know, some of the
it's damaging in so many ways.
Too,
heroin's terrible, but
there's
alcohol,
a lot of stealing. I mean, alcohol you can just go buy it though.
But look what people do when they're drinking. People who are shooting up heroin are sitting on a couch.
Sure.
People who are drinking and driving and partying and being treating people a certain way that they wouldn't normally treat them. Anyway, the volume was increasing without me really noticing or caring. A few beers after dinner, maybe a handful of scotches or bourbons after my middle school wife teacher retired to bed at 9:30. I didn't intend for it to become a habit. It just did. There were months when I was reporting Saudi or Islamic North where alcohol was prohibited, where I didn't drink at all. But once I got home, my old drinking habits kicked in. On that blind mountain curve, I sideswiped Wayne T. White's car. Ugh. He went back over his lane, slowed down, and an 18-wheeler crashed on top of him. Ugh. Mr. White lost his life. The Commonwealth of Virginia would find that I had a blood alcohol level of 0.10%. The legal limit is 0.08, so my life, as I knew it, was lost. Not a day goes by I don't wake up and think of Wayne T. White and the White family and what I took from them. Every day I feel terribly, knee-bucklingly awful about it. And not a day goes by that I don't stagger a little bit, wounded by what a split second did to my own life and my family as well. That's pretty good writing there.
Wow.
Oof. We lived in a small town. Everyone knew who I was. Everyone also knew my wife. And that's, you know, that's when it's...
I didn't think of that aspect of it.
That's when it's so great. Hey, look at me. Woo.
Yeah, you can't disappear.
Donovan Webster, world-renowned writer, and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, no, you're Donovan Webster, the drunk that killed this guy. And when I went to prison for killing a man, involuntary manslaughter was a charge. She became...
I wonder, 0.1, I wonder how...
I know. It was... See, you know what, though? He's...
I wonder how impaired he really was.
I hate to say this.
And I don't know
this.
If he would ever admit it either, because he said he looked down and... Yeah.
Well, I hate to say this, but I think he's sort of shading things in his favor because I read another account. This is what I dove into this to find out all I could.
I feel like everyone can guess the ending.
Yeah. He had 0.10% 6 hours after the accident.
Oh, wow.
He failed two tests. He passed the mental acuity tests, they said, on the site, but he failed two sobriety tests, and he blew a 0.13 at that moment. But that's not an official number. So the 0.10 was 6 hours later. He knee buckling, terrible he feels. We live in a small town. Everyone knew about me. They knew my wife. When I went to prison for killing a man, she became the public face of our family and my deed. It shamed her, unbearably so. So she sold our house, some of our possessions, and moved back to her hometown in Tennessee. I can't blame her. She'd met her limit. My son and daughter divided between wanting to love me and wanting to walk away from all the pain. When they were younger, I coached them in baseball and soccer, did homework with them, paid for private schools, vacations, did local theater with them, where I was a kick-ass Captain Von Trapp. They're understandably cautious with their love now. As for the star-spangled career, it won't surprise you to learn almost everyone I used to work with to generally happy and successful results is tentative about going in with me, and few new prospects seem willing to go too far down the road with a man who pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter. The damage left by the accident, the 2 years in prison, shows itself in large and small ways. In prison, I read a book a day, lived on public radio, went to bed early every night, weather permitting. Before the guards closed the yard, I would go out and watch the sun go down. Other offenders let me alone on a bench in the evenings. This must have been some club fed, I guess, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because of his position. It's interesting. I read his wife's account and I read his account, and they're a little different because in his wife's account, it sounded like he did change around, you know, after the tsunami,
sure,
that his drinking picked up, that he gained a mean streak.
When did he write this?
This is written in 20, right after he got out of prison, like 2017 maybe, or early 2018.
And then what happened to him?
Well, I was just going to say that the difference between the two accounts is that his wife, I think she's a little more honest about how serious his drinking became after the tsunami.
Yeah.
And that he was burning bridges. He was missing appointments. He was fucking his career up.
Oh, boy.
He was going to rehab. He was going to rehab again and again.
He was drinking a lot more.
Yeah, he went to, I'm not sure how many times he went to rehab, but it was multiple times. So anyway, hang on 1 second. Let me just.
Oh, boy.
I know, it's quite a tease, isn't it? Our friends at Zotford and Holly and DealsInTheD.com are at it again. They brought back everyone's favorite month, Truck Month, which means incredible savings on all Ford trucks, including the number one selling truck in America, the legendary Ford F-150, and of course, you can't ignore the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford and lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Cabar and the gang at Zod Ford still have new Ford Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details, surf their massive inventory at dealsnad.com. And when you're done, check out the Aldo Eye Center, because maybe you'd like to see better. Maybe you'd like to lose the glasses and the contact holders and the fluid and all the garbage and the reading glasses, and get yourself some custom topography guided LASIK. The most precise in the world for people 40 and under. If you're over 45, it might be multifocal lens replacement, which will have you seeing small print and everything for as long as you live. And how about $1,500 off?
Because yeah, I'll take it.
A lot of people have priced this or thought about this, and I think you got to really plan for it, because you've got to pay for it. It's not covered by insurance, correct? It's not covered, is it?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, so $1,500 off is big. And then if you bring a friend, you'll get an additional half off your surgery, not just because they show up and hang out. They don't want to just meet your friend. So it'll pay for itself, and the money you'll save on eye exams and the additional contact lenses and glasses crap that you spend every year. And the appointments, because you got to go back, get the glaucoma test.
Gross.
So get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES or go to yelloweyecenter.com. Tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And also remember, the Yellow Eye Center now is a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. And the Hall Financial Hotline, if it were to open up.
Ooh, it might open up.
Yeah, there's some interesting things going on. And Hall Financial wants you to know mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. That's why people are refinancing right now. Now,
two things we didn't talk about. We could try Doc Antle. Remember Doc Antle? He was in the Tiger King documentary. He was indicted on Friday, but he hasn't been arrested yet. So you know he's just sitting at home taking pictures with those tigers and his 17 girlfriends. And the other
he
one
does pull the women, man.
Brandon and I were saying we should call Joe the Isman today.
Joe the Isman?
Yeah, because Alex Smith made his return.
Oh, that's right.
After having his hamburger leg, that horrific injury. Ugh. And just a phenomenal documentary that ESPN did on
Joe could play now? Joe could be inspired by that?
I think
to get
he could
there?
Really, because Joe never played after the LT sack.
Not one down.
On Monday Night Football. But here, Alex made it all the way back. I got to admit, it was weird watching him roll out. He just figured that he was going to break his leg again.
You know, it's weird.
He didn't fare too well today.
No, but he was out there. That's what's crazy.
I cannot explain this, but I swear, until Lawrence Taylor and Joe the Isman, I don't ever remember seeing a guy on video break a foot, ankle, leg like that. I mean, can you think of a highlight before Isman?
The only one I can think of, and it might have been around the same time, was Napoleon McCallum for the
Raiders. I remember
Raiders.
That.
I don't want to say that was right after, though, where his knee bent the opposite way.
I think it was after that. And I just don't think there was a video that was quite as good.
That's a good point, yeah.
Good/bad. And then after that, every time it happened, like Robin Ventura, the Louisville guard.
Robin Ventura. Oh,
basketball team.
Eric Ward. And
yeah, there have been many, many, many of them.
Tim Crumright.
Yep.
During the Super Bowl.
Oh, and every time it happens, I think, oh, my God, his career's over. And most of them seem to come back.
Amazingly,
yeah. Isn't that weird?
Well, the medicine now, I would assume, is just way better. McCallum was in the 90s. Is that true?
Yeah, I thought it was 94? After Joe.
I could swear
Joe was by far the first one.
God, I just...
Because it was the gold standard. It still is the gold standard.
Gold standard.
Such a thing exists.
Those horrific injuries.
But not only is there the Isman, Mr. Isman, on our list, also... There's a local guy who has created mobile bowling lanes. There's a story today in the paper.
So cool.
About this dude. Is it Lester?
Terrence.
Okay. And he's got this giant truck, and it goes to your party, your event, and is there two bowling lanes in there? I could swear there's two.
And a big screen.
Yeah.
Fucking cool is that?
It's
like
the Booty Lounge, but it's for bowling.
It is. It's got state-of-the-art stereo system, just like the Booty Lounge. It's also got a loft area where I guess you can watch the bowling.
Do you think the COVID has knocked the Booty Lounge out of business?
I think we need to find out where the Booty Lounge is. What happened to that guy? Somehow I don't think the revenues were really flying in the Booty Lounge.
No.
That second trip it took to the studios, I don't know.
It was bad.
It was very disappointing. That was the day Gilbert Gottfried was there, wasn't it? Was that the day Gilbert was there?
Oh, boy, I don't remember.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know why. I've conflated those two things. Well, anyway, Yeah, so we want to get in touch with him, and then also there's an Ed Sheeran lookalike in the UK.
I'm so mad at this guy.
And he's complaining about it, like, oh my God, people are constantly asking me my pictures. But he's got the glasses like Sheeran, he's got the beard like Sheeran, his hairstyle is like Sheeran. I think if his penis is not abnormally pink, he's probably shaded it. Probably gotten some sort of Michael Jackson coloring done.
He bleached his dong.
Probably did. To make it abnormally pink.
Picture of him, man. Here's the other thing. I was complaining about the beard and the hairstyle because you could easily change those. Take those glasses off, my man. He's wearing the same glasses as Sheeran.
I feel like he even put a vise at the top and bottom of his head to squeeze it and make it fatter side to side. His head is even fat like Sheeran's.
Oh, man.
Look what he's wearing. That looks like something Sheeran would wear.
Yeah.
No, he's totally, I mean,
loves it.
He is so
good
into it.
You know he's gotten laid because of it.
Absolutely. Oh,
probably by Sheeran's exes.
So anyway, Hall Financial offering low rates, incredibly low rates. Some people getting, God, one guy went from 4.6 to 2.8 or something. I'm like, what? How can this be happening? So it's worth checking. You could save a lot of money. Hall Financial Services, the fastest in the business, 19-day average. Don't fuck it up. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. And, of course, the virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your house. So make money by saving money. Live how you want. Call 248-308-5000 or go to davidallmortgage.com, NMLS number 1467435. And, so
Webby.
Mm-hmm. Webby. I just mentioned that. I think his account of the drinking was, you know, he clearly wants to take, he's offering no excuses for what happened to Mr. White, and he acknowledges his problems, but his wife made it sound like the drinking was worse. Yeah. And she mentioned also that he would stop drinking or try to stop drinking, and that he would have to be hospitalized for,
the DTs?
I know, that's... Yeah, for seizures.
He was drinking a shit ton then.
That's kind of what I thought.
Oy.
As I slowly edged towards 60 with a broken family, virtually no money, nothing great in the way of prospects, and only my wits and a few friends who still love me around, I have a powerful remorse for the damage I have caused, but what I don't have is self-pity. Yes, there are moments when I walk out into the night sky and ask myself what the point of this journey has been, but feeling sorry for myself is a luxury people my age can no longer afford. Virtually everything in my life burned to the waterline. But I realize there's some great power in being around long enough to comprehend that no matter the damage we've done, a new door will open. No matter what age you are, staging a comeback is only a matter of taking the rest of your life seriously and making the next smart step, and the next is there really any option. And he mentioned earlier, too, that he was, you know, guarding his sobriety carefully and, you know, saying all the right things. Anyway, what happened was he got out of prison, and the first thing he wanted was, I think he said it was a chocolate shake at Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A have shakes?
I don't know. Probably.
Because I might be mixing up the...
Is Chick-fil-A overrated, too, by the way?
I know.
That sounds delicious.
Side note there. It's good. I just think it's overrated. I'm waiting in line for a chicken sandwich.
And his kids picked him up when he got out of prison. Yeah. And it just... The whole thing just... I mean, I just
sad.
Felt so... It was, terribly sad. So what happened was he got back, and I think his wife, to survive, had sold the house, which they were going to lose, had sold a lot of possessions, a lot of stuff. God. And her father was not feeling well. Her father was older, not doing well. And she decided that she was going to let him sort of pull himself together, and rather than guard him and, you know, witness whatever was about to take place, she moved back to Tennessee with the kids. And so he was staying in that farmhouse, or that little house he mentioned at the beginning of that story. And then, you know, I don't know, this article sounds sort of upbeat, but obviously it didn't stay that way because he committed suicide shortly after that. And sometime in, I think, June 2018, he's 59.
How did he do it?
I don't know.
July 4th.
Was it July 4th? Does it say how, Brandon?
It doesn't matter.
I don't see it.
No.
And you just found out?
Well, I just found out. No. Actually, last T3 meeting, it was revealed to me. And it was discussed at length, But I just didn't know the story. I hadn't read. I didn't know he was a fucking writer who traveled the world. I didn't know any of this stuff.
It's crazy.
I just knew that he had died and that he had been in a drinking-related car accident that had sort of destroyed him. But I didn't really know.
So when the T3 was telling you about this, did you say?
We know the story.
I know the story.
It was just, I think it was a lot more lighthearted, and then for some reason it came up again yesterday in a group text, and so I just suddenly was like, I got to read about this, and I start Googling Don Webster, and I'm like, why can't I find Webby? Where is he? And then I realized, oh, it's Donovan Webster, because he was always Don. He was always, well, he's really Webby, because the hands and the name, of course, but I mean, just to find out all this stuff about somebody, you know, that was so far back and all this shit happened and, you know, no clue. And then the ending, of course, which is if the ending hadn't happened, you wouldn't be hearing about Webby.
Probably not.
Maybe the accident.
Maybe.
But, oh my God, what a brutal story.
I don't know.
Maybe.
It happened.
For me, it's really a story about, I want to say it's a story about addiction as anything.
Yeah.
I mean, just in general, because I was trying to take something from it. Like, what do you get from this? And all I could think of was how, because I was thinking about, should I bring this up on the show or should I just let it go? And I thought, no, this is something that a lot of people deal with, somebody in their world, a parent, a child, a spouse who is really fucked up because of alcohol or whatever it is.
Everybody knows somebody. Yeah. Everybody knows somebody who has an addiction like that. Did he say he only took 4 beers to go fishing?
Yeah, that's what he said. So I don't know how 6 hours later it went on. There were 4 empty beer cans in the car.
Oh, so maybe he...
So maybe he was stuck.
He literally was 4. Drinking and driving?
Well, I thought it's funny. I thought about that.
Wouldn't you be a lot higher than a .1?
I think so. Well, 6 hours later, if you only had 4 beers, right. I would think you'd be fine.
Yeah.
And then he would just be charged with reckless driving or something. You know, he'd go to prison. And
this is what sucks. If that guy didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
The charges.
If the truck wasn't behind him. I mean, it's
a bunch of ifs.
That's another part of the story that I thought, you know, this could be anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody could have a few beers or a few drinks and, you know, make a momentary lapse of judgment, and this could happen to them.
It's quite random.
So why did this happen to Webby? Well, but then when you read about Webby, and you find out that, you know, he's been, you know, in hospitalized with, because he's trying to stop drinking, and he could not physically withstand it.
Well, he went to rehab, too.
Yeah, multiple times.
Jesus.
Yeah. And, it's funny. There's a lot of people who show up on just the nature of social media. You know, I saw a Facebook page like, hey, weren't you in the class of 77, you know?
Yeah, they Facebook want you to page. Join it. Yeah.
And so I looked at it, I was like, oh, and I want to see who was in it before I joined. Isn't that stupid?
Yeah, no, and totally also, understandable, though.
I saw that there's like a 25-person board, and I was like, oh, let's see how these people look. And so I basically stalked them all just to see, you know, oh, my God, she's huge. And, hey, he looks great, you know, or she looks great or whatever, you know. I couldn't help it. But then in the end, I was like, I'm not joining this group because – it seems to me what most of them do, and I'm sure every high school has this phenomenon. Basically, everyone talks about how wonderful everyone's doing, and, you know, so-and-so did this, and they just became the, you know, they joined the board of this, or they...
That's the fallacy of social media.
Yeah, it's
everything
bullshit.
The greatest portions of your life, and so when people go on there, they go, man, that guy's living better than me, and they get depressed, and...
Sure.
Yeah, and they look at their kids are doing so wonderful, and oh my God, his son just got his PhD. And interesting, Webby wasn't really in that world. I did not ever really hear about Webby. I don't know why, but to his credit. Yeah, so, boy, great story.
Whenever
you
see something about someone's great life on Facebook, it's always...
All a lie.
I know.
Wow, you only have great moments. Only great things happen to you. Real poignant moments. Big life events. That's really deep thinker.
I really
anything like, oh, I sharted my pants on the way to the bathroom this afternoon.
I really wonder.
You know what I mean? Everybody has those moments.
I would love it if the show could afford a forensic accountant to have on staff to dig into some of this social media bullshit.
I prefer the miserable moments of life. That's misery loves company. Those are the fun ones, right?
True. They're more relatable. You feel better afterwards. Yes. Like a lot of people are going, wow, I felt so bad about my cousin or my brother or whatever, but look, it happens. Look what happened to Webby. It could be worse. What is that site, Brandon, where all those people talk about their ultra-woke six-year-olds? And
oh, he sent some more, by the way.
That, those are incredible. It's like, who would fucking believe you, you fucking phonies?
Here,
it's a Reddit subreddit called Woke Kids.
It's bullshit. It's such bullshit.
It's
all a lie.
So Philip wrote, he's like, glad you guys like the Woke Kids subreddit. I hope you exploited it. I hope you exploited from it that 90% of it's just made up fantasies adults created for social media attention.
Right.
Very close cousin to Woke Kids is.
No, but I think it's passed along as being real. I think they my wonderful 4-year, look what it did.
It is, but it's on the subreddit because everybody, there's a big group of people that know it's basically
all a lie.
So there's another one that is subreddit that happened. These are just completely made up stories that people post for attention, and the worrying part is that a lot of the time it seems like people buy it. Okay, so people buy the stories to the tune that it gets thousands of likes and comments. So he sent a few over, which makes me – there's a celebrity that had a post like this too. I'll dig up while you're reading those.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a great –
is a celebrity a female singer, by the way?
No, actress.
Oh, okay.
The latest on Woke Kids, my son had to turn in a school project about the election and its two candidates. He made the whole project about how there's more than two parties and that Dr. Joe Jorgensen is on the ballot in all 50 states. He's only in fifth grade.
All a lie.
Hey, Joe Jorgensen, that's who Ken Bone voted for. Glad I know that.
Today my heart broke. I stood in an elevator with a mom and her son. They didn't have any shoes on.
Fake!
She asked me if I knew where to go to give up temporary custody of her child and actually laughed because I thought she was joking. Tears came to my eyes, and yes, I asked, why? She replied, I can't put shoes on my son. It's not that I don't love him, but he's better off without me.
You don't have much resources if you can.
I cried. I said, what size is he? She replied, the same shoe size my youngest was in. We step off the elevator. I hug her. I lean down to ask her boy's name, and he says, Mommy calls me Junior, but I'm Christopher. I tell my son to sit down. I take his shoes off and I put them on. I put them on Christopher. Today
God
I lost
damn a, shoes.
I lost a pair of shoes, but today I gave someone help.
What about the kid? What about your kid, man? The kid just lost his shoes.
I gave her one last hug and said, do not give up on yourself.
And then she went on her way to give up the kid. Who now had shoes and was more attractive to someone else.
And then sold those shoes on Nextdoor.com. That's so ridiculous.
I know. Fuck you, lady.
Oh, my God. She probably saw her the next week, and the kid was wearing Jordans.
It's a way for this lady to collect shoes. I almost
look
got
this chick here. She says, during the debate last night, my 6-year-old daughter turned me to tears when she said, Daddy, that rude sexist man keeps interrupting Senator Harris. This must be what misogyny looks like.
No way.
I didn't know how to respond. We hugged each other and cried.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you know, suck my ass. Oh, that is such bullshit. Oh, my God. Misogyny? A 6-year-old knows the word misogyny.
Well,
and a 6-year-old calls her Senator Harris.
I'm worried about this person's parenting if their 6-year-old knows what misogyny is and means. Right? Isn't that a little worrisome?
I think I read
6-year-old
that. Did I read
to
that
watch
one in the show
president.
Last week, by the way?
Brandon, you're right. Brandon was saying this. Like the 6-year-old really wanted to watch the vice presidential debate.
Now, what a crock of shit. What is that, Brandon, that one you're looking at? Read that.
Y'all, so apparently my sister has been writing things like BLM, ACAB, all cops are bastards, and fuck Trump on the sidewalks in front of people's houses who have Trump signs. And this dude put up a camera to catch who it is. Imagine his surprise to find out it's a little 11-year-old lesbian with blue hair on a bike.
11-year-old lesbian?
All a lie.
Yeah, I'm sure the homeowner went, oh, my God, it's 11-year-old lesbian. Just look at her.
I know. You just look.
What is she wearing? Lesbian shirt?
I'm a lesbian. I'm also 11. Is that what the shirt said?
Oh, my God.
What a joke. I kind of want to look at that person's Twitter page and see what other bullshit they have on there, because they have her name.
I almost got in a fight today on the bus. Two guys were holding hands, and someone was like, shield their child. Someone was like, shielding their child who was looking. So the guy stopped, and I said, no, fuck that. Don't do that. Hold his hand.
What?
No, what's wrong with you? I want you two to kiss each other.
And she said, I don't want my child seeing that. I stood up and said, what? Love? Oh, how horrible. What a terrible thing for your child to see. And I said to the kid, these two men love each other, and that's okay, no matter what anyone tells you. And the bus cheered.
Bullshit. Nobody speaks up on a bus.
As I was getting off of my stop, one of the guys came to me. He was tearing up, and he said, thanks. And I said, don't thank me, seriously. This nonsense of thanking people for indecent human beings, it needs to stop. You're welcome, though.
And then she said,
I want you two to kiss each other.
I think she's got a fetish for two dudes getting on.
The bus cheered. Really?
Really? This is the reaction.
By the way, what if
this is the
guys...
reaction of most people on the bus. Looking at their phone, looking up. What's going on?
What?
Going back in my phone.
If I was one of the two gay guys, I would go, would you please shut the fuck up? You're embarrassing the hell out of me. This is bullshit.
It'd be great if the one started sucking the other guy's dick, too. Just went total overboard with it. Oh, cool. Everybody's on board. Maybe the bus will cheer.
And this guy yelling at the guy yelling at the mom jumped in with him.
Oh, it was the guy yelling at the mom. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I thought it was. I assumed it was a.
It probably is.
A white 20-year-old woman.
Probably. Holy shit.
So here's the celebrity with their lying story. Tori Spelling claims she and her children witnessed an armed attack at a hotel, but did not give any further details. She wrote, quote, you know angels are watching when you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you and your kids and others are around and unharmed afterwards. Never in my life did I think I would witness a man with a machine gun who then started shooting. All are safe, and we thank the hotel staff. Hashtag grateful.
Well, this must be in the news. It's got to be breaking news, right?
Did anybody fire a machine gun in a hotel?
Yeah, because Tori Spelling was there. So,
of course, people responded with, what? Oh, my God. Thank God you and your family are safe, but there's been no other incidents about...
Can we call the New York Times and find out where this happened?
So according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a man opened fire outside a local hotel on Wednesday night. However, it's unknown if the alleged attack that she mentioned is the same incident because why would they
live in Atlanta, does she?
No, they live in California.
I want her phone subpoenaed immediately to find out where she was.
In the middle of the pandemic, why would she be in Atlanta with the whole family?
Well, are people really staying in hotels? Why would someone shoot up a hotel when nobody's at the hotel?
They're not shooting up the hotel either. They were shooting outside a local hotel.
But
I think she might have been in the vicinity and saw the story or something.
I'm not buying it.
Mariah Carey also claims that her son, Moroccan, was bullied by, quote, a white supremacist.
Yes, I read the story.
Yeah,
it was a friend of Moroccan. By the way, his name's Moroccan?
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Shouldn't be Morocco. Moroccan? I mean, because that suggests he's a Moroccan person, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a, it's an adjective.
Yeah,
Moroccan
is an adjective. Doesn't fit. Yeah. Did she misspell it at the birth certificate or something?
Either her or Cannon.
Well, the child was a peer of Moroccan and a friend who eventually turned out to be a white supremacist. A 9-year-old white supremacist. Now, are there really white supremacists in Mariah Carey's son's private school?
In her circle, I highly, highly doubt it.
By the way, she was pulling her book out, I guess the first copy in this video that was attached to the story, and she was almost crying. She was so excited. She was so moved by her own words.
Probably the first time she saw the book.
Probably the first time she heard of it.
Wrote it.
There's a book about me?
Yes. Wow, my name's on it. I wrote it.
Go buy yourself a book and get into the washroom and take care of yourself.
Oh, stupid. Well, we're heading into fall, and Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep celebration event. And as you know, it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's got you covered. Starting with a new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass, as low as $155 a month. How about the new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month? If you need a truck, you can lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And how about pure performance port Indian SUV that drives like a sports car? Go lease the new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And you know the game, no Zot spot complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. So go to dealsinad.com and see all the details. And then go ahead and get your divorce with Adam. If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam's been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. They've been working for dudes for quite a while. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. All right.
Man, I want to read the rest of those subreddits. Those are hilariously bad.
This is a classic one. Everyone dies one day. Everyone, even wolves, but not books, not words. Words don't die. My son, 3 years old, who is a lot smarter than
three?
I am. And then there's a comment that goes, oh, fuck off, Rebecca. He did not say that.
Wow.
I think this one was funny, too, real quick here. I just heard my son's history teacher say, the Americans were about to try a brand new experiment to govern themselves, something that has never been done in human history. My son spoke up. Weren't the Native Americans already governing themselves?
Ooh.
I spit my coffee out.
Ooh. What a great story for...
God, these kids are so wonderful.
Great story for Indigenous Peoples Day, which is today.
I swear, there's so many people that just need to shut the fuck up. Isn't it incredible how many people need to shut up?
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't there be some way to do this, to accomplish this, to make just... I don't know. Should everybody get to make someone else shut up? Like, should there be Shut Up Day? Where everybody shuts up.
Oh, that'd be great. But then they have to shut up too.
Couldn't we have like the Star Chamber decide what 50 people need to shut up every year?
No, I like that. How about each person? I will never be on social media again if these four people aren't. You can pick four people.
God, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Wonderful.
I one of the things on SNL, I really love this because SNL was making fun of people that they. You know, they have their sacred cows and they have their less sacred cows and they have, you know, people that they go after. But the PSA that they had of the guy,
yeah,
you know,
that's great.
The woke, super woke guy.
Yeah. That's really funny.
These, you know, when I was watching it, and this morning there was a sort of review of the show and it mentioned the Hollywood PSAs for, you know, coronavirus and BLM. And they listed them all. There's so many of them. It's like, you people are just so... And so many of them are lampooned. And people say that is... Yeah. Starting with the Imagine one, which was so bad.
Oh, Gal Gadot's, yeah.
How could you even do one after that? And then the one that everyone just...
You know, that's a great point. When you see how bad that one got hammered...
Yeah, how could you do another one?
Like, oh, my turn.
I mean...
It doesn't make any sense.
I know at the time it didn't seem this stupid... But think about all the hand-washing videos people did.
Can you
believe that we watched celebrities tell us how to wash our hands?
It was wonderful.
That was a daily thing for like 2 months, the celebrity PSA.
What's wrong with you? I know you're starved for attention, but we know how to wash our hands. Think of something better. Really?
If you're sick, stay home.
Shut up and
wash your hands thoroughly. A full 20 seconds.
I hate to be, you know, shut up and dribble, but really, shut up and act. Shut up and sing. Shut up and do what you do.
Stop and coach Ogeron.
Stop begging for attention. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
It's pretty stupid.
Cover your cough with your elbow like this.
Remember the singer from the Killers did one? Was it Brandon Flowers?
Yes. And was he the one that taught us that over the chorus you can
sing his song? Yeah.
The only good one was that chick who had the huge boobs and she was washing her hands for 20 seconds. And
But why not just flop her big boobs around? Did people really watch it because she's washing her hands?
Watch her wash her boobs.
No, they just
pretend my boobs are hands. I don't know. This one was okay too.
We both know that we shouldn't be. Yes. And this feels wrong. And baby, it's killing me. It's killing you. They're telling us we gotta stay home. We got something else to be.
I can't stop listening to
this. Other friends to see.
It's so dumb.
If we go outside now, we might spread the disease.
Play this at my funeral.
I'm staying in my house. It's time to quarantine. Cause staying safe is what it's all about. Yeah.
It's the hardest thing we've ever had to do.
Number one hit soon,
to stay stuck in our house, just watching all this bad news. It's the hardest thing we've ever had to try.
Hey, that is a good song.
You can't wash your hands practically. There's so little water comes out of the faucet.
Is he a real person? I swear, he just, that seems like a real person could not really have done that.
I would like to think that he kind of knows how silly it is.
No, I think he really, you think no, so? It's, I think he thought, oh man, it's going to get a ton of downloads. It's so topical.
Really?
I really sat down. I spent 2 days writing this.
You don't think there's any bit of
sarcasm?
I got some
help from Diane Warren. No, I don't think there's a bit of sarcasm.
Oh, really?
I think okay. Don't you think?
No, only because watch that whole stupid show he did with Simpson. Remember when they were newlyweds?
Yeah.
I felt like he seemed like a legitimately good, normal guy.
I think he's like fairly normal, but he is a star.
He liked to work on things himself. He didn't want to hire everything out. He would do it all.
But he's an insignificant, he has no relevance anymore.
Well, I'm just glad he did it.
I don't know, Brandon, didn't you think he was serious?
He his facial expressions were the same that him singing that song as him singing a love song with his band. I mean,
How could he be serious?
I would think he'd have to smile or something during if he was joking. Plus, it wasn't a joke. I mean,
but you got to remember at that time, those few days when, you know, quarantine first started, there was a lot of panic, a lot of people that were kind of scared. I don't think there was a lot of joking around about it. So I'm confident that he was all in on that. That's a legit song for him.
There are a lot of other really like the Contagion cast with Matt Damon and, you know, we can beat this thing. Neil Diamond's hand washing.
Here's the only one I liked.
You have to wear a mask every time you go out.
That's all we needed. That's all we needed. How about the ESPN personalities? Let's all do our part to help the team.
Oh, I didn't see that
one. It's only like 30 seconds.
Can we please see that? That would be fun.
There's a CBS
all those
one.
College coaches in Michigan throw the ball around. You know?
Yeah.
CBS stars.
You have to wear a mask every time you go out.
We're all in this together. The CBS one. The Situation did one for New Jersey.
Yeah, that was stupid.
We got this, New Jersey.
Yeah, good job, Jersey.
But the I Take Responsibility is really, I feel like it's the nadir. It tops Imagine because they're all saying the same thing. It's scripted, and they're acting like they're just saying it off the top of their heads.
And no one will take responsibility for who made that or what it was for. That's the funny thing.
And some of the lines, too. Black people are being slaughtered in the streets. Playing video games should not be a death sentence.
I take responsibility.
I stand against hate.
I take responsibility.
Of the pause.
I take responsibility.
You can see who is a really good actor and who isn't.
Unchecked moment. For every time it was easier to ignore than to call it out for what it was.
Every not so funny.
How much racism did Kirsten Bell see?
I know. Jeez.
And let go.
Type.
Every blatant injustice, no matter how big
There's Deborah. Everything I touch turns into a messing.
Oh, she's horrible.
She's the worst. I'm not even going to play anymore.
Oh, no, I want to hear it. Hey, I want to hear it. Okay. I want to hear Jesse Pinkerton at
Police
the end.
Brutality.
He's the best.
Pinkman?
Or turned a blind eye.
That's Dallas Bryce
I take
Howard.
Responsibility. Black people are being slaughtered in the streets, killed in their own homes. These are our brothers and sisters, our friends, our family. We are done watching them die. We are no longer bystanders. We will not be idle. Enough is enough.
Why were you bystanding before?
I will no longer allow an unchecked moment.
Here's Tucci reading it.
I will no longer allow racist, hurtful words, jokes, stereotypes, no matter how big or small, to be uttered in my presence.
As liberal as my policy was before.
You can't even utter them without Stanley Tucci.
Previously, he loved racist jokes and people just, I mean, the N-word just flew around him, and all of a sudden he's just, I mean, shouldn't he modify his policy or get partway there and then go all the way there? Because it sounds like the guy hung around with racists nonstop.
Can somebody please find Stanley Tucci and just go up and tell him a joke? Because he said he won't stand by and he won't take anymore. Just curious to see what he does. I'm just interested.
The rest of a blind eye.
A blind eye.
Going for a jog should not be a death sentence. Sleeping in your own home should not be a death sentence. Playing video games with your nephew should not be a death sentence.
Shopping in a store should not be a death sentence. Business as usual should not be life-threatening. I stand against hate.
I stand against hate.
Oh, my God, really?
I stand against hate.
I'm pro-hate.
I stand against hate.
What a 180.
I will stand against hate in love. I will make my presence known.
Wait, she'll stand against hate and love?
Killer cops must be prosecuted. They are murderers. We can turn the tide. It is time to take responsibility. Ooh. Call out hate. Wow. Step up and take action.
There's really no call to action, though. How much hate? There's nothing you do. They just are saying it.
How much hate do they see?
By the way, are there people that don't stand against hate? Are there people say, I'm pro-hate? I mean, do people say that? I mean, aren't all
just hate groups?
Aren't
yeah,
all
no,
non-people
no,
that aren't
really.
Part of hate groups, don't we all stand yeah. against hate? Isn't generally something everyone
yes,
does?
I think it's the definition of hate that differs.
That's a good point. So I love the Saturday Night Live bit because he doesn't have his shirt on.
Yeah.
So he's really making fun of the naked ballot one, yes. I guess.
Yeah, the new one.
Which was terrible.
And it's in black and white.
And can't they get someone besides Mark Ruffalo and Amy Schumer to be in all these? Does it have to be the same people every time? Oh, Mel and Max Brooks. I forgot about them.
Who?
They became relevant for a moment. Mel and Max Brooks. Mel Brooks and his son did one.
Oh, yeah.
Where his dad couldn't get out of the house because he's old.
That was hilarious.
And it was just so really stupid. All it told us was how dated his humor is.
Now, on SNL, did you like Pete Davidson thing in the news?
What was it about?
J.K. Rowling.
You know, I think I didn't hear that because
he threw a lot of jabs at himself.
Yeah, so that, I thought it was pretty
funny.
That
really helps people like him more.
Yeah.
So. I don't, you know, I can't say I liked it or didn't like it because I don't think I heard it so much. I was really stuck on how unfunny I thought Kate McKinnon was. It's like,
terrible.
Oh my God, she's dressed like a guy again.
Yeah, that was really
and
stupid.
Everything she said was so funny and Colin couldn't stop. I mean, they actually had to leave character because it was so funny.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
And the crowd was laughing and I'm like, something must be wrong with me because I'm the only one that's not hysterical. In fact, I'm not even laughing.
Yeah, I didn't understand that bit.
What is that? So if Kate McKinnon dresses like a guy, everyone
loves
is
it.
Mostly people think that's just hilarious no matter what happens otherwise?
I guess. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to apologize for that. I forgot about her RBG tribute last week and the Hillary Clinton tribute with Hallelujah. She's really wonderful.
Why? Whatever. I mean, I don't care about those, but at least be funny.
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, know, but that's why people laugh at it?
I don't know. But why did she do Hillary Clinton singing Hallelujah? What was that?
I don't know. It was a big mistake.
Because you know what? When I saw there was a story today talking about hilarious Kate McKinnon thing was. It was like the highlight of the show for this writer.
Seriously?
Yes. And then underneath, and they broke character because it was so funny. And,
first off, breaking characters, not a good thing.
No, and it wasn't that funny. It wasn't. It really wasn't. And then, to me it wasn't. Maybe people are going to write and say, are you out of your mind? That was the most hilarious thing I've ever heard.
I actually sped through it.
I didn't think the premise was even funny.
No, she was playing a doctor that, I don't even remember what the premise was.
The doctor's name was Who Knows or I Don't Know or something. Yeah, I don't know. It was so stupid.
It was dumb.
So anyway, in the story, it had you could click on other great moments, like her RBG tribute last week.
Yeah, which
and
was
then
just her sitting there.
Her career of RBG moments, and then
not
it
funny.
Also had it had her thing as Hillary Clinton singing Hallelujah. And the thing about it was it was lauding it. And when I clicked on it, there were stories underneath, all of them saying how wonderful it was. And I'm like, I didn't even think it made sense.
It doesn't make sense. Neither of them are. They're not comedy bits.
Hallelujah.
I mean, yeah, that was like the first time in SNL history where they started with something that was like serious.
I didn't think it was even
well,
made 9/11 sense.
9/11 they did.
What did, how did the song make sense? None of it made sense to me.
None of it made sense, no.
But it was Kate McKinnon! Whatever.
But yeah, I never liked her RGB bit either.
I know, I wasn't, it didn't, I mean.
What were you going to say, Brandon? I'm sorry.
Well, with Pete Davidson, I thought his little bit there was pretty funny, but then what ends up happening though is it gets lost when at the very end of it when he screams to vote for his candidate, people get upset about that.
Yeah.
A lot
what
of people
what
do. No
why
matter
play
what,
it? Play it. I haven't seen it. Why don't you, so people know what we're talking about.
The whole thing's kind of long, but I can play it if you want.
How long?
I don't know. It's like a stand. It's like a stand-up routine.
Basically. I swear to God, it seemed like the news was going on for 45 minutes.
Well, it was really late in the show.
Well, over
Over the summer, Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling was widely criticized for comments that were perceived as transphobic. With more on this is Pete Davidson.
But I do think that these are typically what he does best.
I just learned it's Mental Illness Awareness Week, so I wanted to make everyone aware. We out here, and we crazy. Go Giants!
Go Giants.
Season starts tomorrow.
Yes, this is the Giants year. Everyone says it. So what do you think about this J.K. Rowling controversy?
I think I'm never getting another tattoo for the rest of my life. Don't get tattoos. I got a Harry Potter tattoo years ago because I'm not psychic. I didn't know J.K. Rowling was going to go all Mel Gibson on us. I have a Game of Thrones tattoo. Now I'm terrified.
Pause
one
for
day
a second.
George R.R. Martin's.
Did J.K. Rowling do something this last week?
It came back up again. She's very anti-trans.
Okay. Because I thought that was kind of an old story. I wasn't sure why it was relevant.
I can't remember why it came back up again, but it did. And I just ignored every story about it. I remember it the first time it happened.
Well, the only reason I ask is because I'm paying attention to a lot of stuff. And I just wondered how many people really knew that J.K. Rowling was freshly in the news. It just seemed sort of a tired concept. But anyway, go ahead.
Sure. No, you're right. Because we've been through it before. I honestly don't know why.
It seemed it was pulled out of thin air. Written 2 months ago or 8 months ago.
No, because it was a deal last week for some reason. I don't know why.
It's just going to be like, hey, if you enjoy what I had to say about dragons and direwolves, wait till you hear what I think about Puerto Ricans.
It's funny.
I also have a Winnie the Pooh tattoo. Am I going to have to find out he was diddling Piglet the whole time? This is madness. It's crazy times we live in. It's not fair.
Now, how did you feel when you first heard that Rowling said something transphobic?
It really hurt. You know, because I have a close connection to those movies. I even look like Dobby the house elf if he became a TikTok.
Can you pause for 1 second again? I hate to keep picking on this, but if you had that tattoo, wouldn't this have been an issue like when she said this a long, long time ago, not like now?
I don't know. It's a bit. I guess. Sure. I guess he should have done it then.
But he's acting like he just figured out that J.K. Rowling has a problem with. Isn't that an old thing?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking if it is. I don't know. I thought it was. I thought this happened a long time ago, so I don't know why he would suddenly realize that his tattoo was a bummer.
Maybe he's just using the new story for the stand-up. Okay.
Because I didn't know if the trans thing was brand new. I thought it was old.
It is old, but it came back again. I'll find out why.
So he just remembered that he had the tattoo. We'll just go with that.
He's got a lot of them.
That wasn't very nice. It is scarily accurate. But the only difference between me and Dobby is I'm a real person and his movies get released in theaters.
All right, so you found what J.K. Rowling said disappointing.
Very disappointing, yeah. I longed for a few years ago when the worst thing she ever did were those Fantastic Beasts movies. You know? No discrimination there. Those films harmed us all equally. I mean, what's wrong with her, Colin? She creates a 7-book fantasy series about all types of mythical creatures living in harmony with wizards and elves, and the one thing she can't wrap her head around is Laverne Cox? She's a national treasure.
Yeah. Did you find what J.K. said surprising then?
Yeah, at first. But then I started thinking about the fantastical world she created. The woods are controlled by centaurs. The schools are run by wizards and ghosts. But who controls the banks? Jews, obviously. Little giant-nosed Jew goblins. And I can say that because, as you can see, I'm half goblin.
You just kind of look like that guy.
I mean, come on, if this isn't a Jews run the banks reference, why do they all look exactly like Alan Dershowitz? The Dersh! You've been Dersh! Dersh!
I'm having fun. Yeah, no, I'm having fun tonight. So, Pete, will you stop reading the books?
I never read any of the books, and I saw part of Azkaban on a plane once.
Pete Davidson, everyone.
Oh, people are mad because you yelled vote for Biden.
I guess.
They just figure out. They get mad because I don't want to vote for that guy. I hate you now.
Oh, boy. I think anyone who's trying to convince someone to vote for someone else or to vote for someone, anyone, have people really not made up their minds? I mean, is it really worth doing that as annoying as it is?
Ken Bone just made up his mind last week.
I mean, do people go, oh, God, I'm so glad to hear from Ken Bone?
No.
I mean, really?
No.
I don't know, I feel like, I mean, I don't want to hear anything. In fact, I said this, and I truly believe it, that if Trump was in a bunker for the last 3 months, he would do better than if he said what he said. I mean, it just hasn't gone very well. It seems like there's nothing left to say. Like this last are they having one more debate?
Yeah, well, number two was canceled. I don't know.
I heard that October 22nd there's a debate.
Okay. Well,
I think in person.
It must be your last one.
I mean, what can possibly happen at that debate? I guess something could happen.
That was the worst debate I have ever seen.
I saw his new poll today. It was 54 to 42. Biden.
Really?
Yeah.
Never seen
who it was. I have not seen a good poll for Trump in, I don't know.
Yeah, but what were the polls this time 4 years ago with Hillary? With Hillary?
Not this bad. They
weren't this bad?
They weren't this bad, no.
I keep seeing Facebook memes that tell me it was way worse with Hillary. And so
no.
I can't believe them because they're Facebook memes.
I think he was behind 6 points or 7 points, maybe. But, I mean, there was a poll last week that was 16. There was one that was 10, and the other one was 12. And I think the best thing to do is ignore the polls and just go vote. But I don't know many presidents who overcame deficits like that. But you could say that about 2016, too. So who knows? I mean, I won't be surprised by anything on election night, honestly.
Well, it won't be done on election night.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Biden said that he had
chicanery.
Yeah, he said that he accused Trump of trying to put people in polling places and said that the only way I can lose is chicanery at the polls. And he said that people with banners and rifles were at this polling place. But then in the same story, they said there was no one saw any rifles.
So is chicanery in polls equivalent to the election's rigged? I mean, we're hearing it from both sides.
Yeah, I think it is.
We're hearing it from both sides.
No, but look at how much shit Trump got for it. I have not really heard much about this Biden story except that he said it.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't seem to be true about this one poll. But, I mean, Trump, holy shit.
I know.
In fact, I'm surprised to hear Biden even said it because it seemed like it was something he was trying to use to his advantage. But and then the court packing thing is, I think that his line about how, but if I say it, it'll be the headline the next day. Yeah, I know, but that's why it's important.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Maybe he's saying that he is going to pack the court. He just doesn't want to say it.
Do you really think they're going to win the Senate?
I don't know. I honestly don't have any. I have no clue right now.
I just have
no clue.
I'd be surprised.
I'm so trying not to pay attention. I mean, you're forced to, but as far as the individual races, I just
really
don't know.
That's really the interesting thing, yeah. The Senate and the House part. Mainly the Senate.
Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Rational financial advice. Coronavirus. What does it mean now and 6 months from now, 6 years from now? Stocks or bonds? Move your 401k? Do people even look at their 401k investments? You should. Luke will. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and or marketing names, product service reference here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
I had it. I hit play in my computer.
Slow down.
My computer was on mute. Fuck.
Let's see.
And it's still on mute because I just did something else that wasn't working.
Trump, there was a story today that Trump wanted to open his shirt to a Superman t-shirt underneath after he got out of the hospital.
I swear to God.
Why didn't he do it? What stopped him? What could possibly go wrong at this point?
He should have just done it. Why not?
I don't know why he didn't do it.
Sounds like fake news.
I don't know. It sounded real.
I know, but if they don't like something, everything's fake news.
I don't think he disliked it, though. I mean, I didn't hear anyone deny it. Did you read the story, Brandon?
I saw the photoshops that came along with the headline,
mm-hmm.
and I just kind of chuckled at it, but I didn't get into the meats and the potatoes of what was said or how it was turned away.
Let me guess, did someone then reply and say, hey, and then maybe jump off the balcony to see if he could fly?
I'm sure that's one of the
We got to find his kryptonite.
Although that would be kind of funny if he did just try to fly.
I have to admit, I was very entertained. Did you see the story about Kamala Harris? Remember when she She wagged her finger and had this big history lesson about Abraham Lincoln?
No.
I do. Yeah.
In the debate, she said that, well, here's what I have to say about this. We'll go back to Abraham Lincoln 155 years ago or whatever. And she told a story about how Abraham Lincoln decided not to pick the Supreme Court justice and to let it happen after the election so that the people could choose. But it turns out that's not what happened.
Ooh, busted.
He did it as a strategy to win the election.
Wow. Ooh, that's, you know,
I didn't know that.
Relevant 140 years later.
I know. No, I mean, during the debate, I thought it was it seemed like a daring finger wag. But then
Abraham
to find out
Lincoln.
It was...
is a hero, and he was pretty unattractive.
You're insane. He was gorgeous.
It's a Frankenstein without the bolts. But now, Gerald Ford, hoochie-moochie. You kidding me with that guy?
Yeah.
He was poured into that suit.
All-American, University of Michigan football player. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
That was my favorite. I also agree, but we have work to do.
That was my favorite debate highlight.
What was that?
The argument about attractive presidents.
Oh. So anyway, who did win that debate? Because I think I read that Kamala Harris won the debate.
Everything I read seemed to indicate that Kamala, like all the places I guess that were doing publication seemed to say Kamala Harris, and then whenever I was looking on social media, it was saying Donald Trump.
You mean Pence?
I'm sorry, Mike Pence. Yes, sorry about that.
Yeah, I thought it was at least close or a draw, but yeah, if you read. You would think that she won if you didn't see it. But I don't know. And then it's funny on SNL last night.
You are fake news.
I guess I should have known they would portray it that way with the all-knowing Kamala Harris, who's, you know, sort of beneath the surface, is, you know, on top of everything, and Mike Pence, the clueless dumb shit. Although, what's her face? What's her lady's name that does?
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, her the way her eyes move to one side of her head. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? It was funny as hell. She's very good, but it was very typical. You want to play Bill Burr?
Yeah, God, his stand-up was great.
Because I want to turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah,
I thought Bill Burr was fantastic.
That might take me a while, though.
If you did not see it... he's getting all kinds of shit for it, which is just hilarious to me.
Well, the best part is he didn't give a shit.
No, he didn't.
He's easily the best stand-up there is right now.
God, you know, now that I think about it, there was some really funny stuff on that show last night. And the funniest thing I think I laughed out loud was they're doing a show on... It's like a post-game football show.
Yeah. Blitz!
Yeah.
And Bill Burr celebrating because his team won or lost or whatever... He won a bet with Keenan, who welches on his bets all the time. So just after he's celebrating, gone crazy, then Keenan says, but who can really care about the score when, you know, he made up some name, was shot last night.
that was
one of those things I thought, well, that's a ballsy skit because you know, somebody goes, oh, my God, how dare they? But that's what everything has been like lately. You could do that with anything anyone says. You could say, well... How could anyone care if the president's coronavirus when such and such happened?
I thought they must be listening to the podcast, too, because they did the sketch on how racist the mafia is.
Yeah.
This is a joke we have said for a while. It's clear. They're listening.
Yep.
All right, here's Bill coming out.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I am so excited to be here.
Phil! I've been doing stand-up. Phil!
And this has always been a lifelong dream of mine to come here and host Saturday Night Live. So thank you so much for coming out during these difficult times. You guys all look like surgeons with your masks on. Makes me feel comfortable that you're wearing masks. I like people who wear masks. That's good. You're listening to the eggheads, the people we all cheated off of in high school, right? Keep listening to them. And then if you don't wear a mask, that doesn't bug me either, right? Take out your grandparents, you know? Take out your weak cousin with the asthma. I don't care. It's your decision. There's too many people. It's a dream come true. If you're that dumb and you want to kill your own family members, by all means, do it. Stop you from reproducing. It's literally a dream come true. And speaking of dreams come true, did you see Rick Moranis got sucker punched on the Upper West Side? New York is back. Yes. We lost our edge there for a minute. City started looking like a giant Bed Bath & Beyond, and then bam! Old Ricky took one in the chops. It had to happen. It had to. That's what happens when you stick an M&M store in Times Square. All right? The universe has to balance itself. Get the peep shows back in Times Square. Old people can walk safely 40 blocks away. I don't know. I'll probably get canceled for doing that joke. You know, how stupid is that cancel thing? They're literally running out of people to cancel. They're going after dead people now. They're trying to cancel John Wayne. It's like, yeah, dude, God did that 40 years ago. They're all up in arms. They're like, did you hear what he said in that interview in Playboy in 1970? Can you believe that? It's like, yeah. He was born in 1907. That's what these people sounded like. You never talked to your grandparents and brought up the wrong subject, and all of a sudden it went off the rails. Oh, grandma! Just keep making the cookies. Yeah, you don't bring up race or religion with your grandparents. You keep it simple. Anyway, I don't know. I know, I guess my grandparents are older. I don't know. Plowing ahead. Plowing ahead. Let's talk white women here, shall we? Let's talk white women. White women, you're amazing. Amazing your accomplishments over the last few years. I got to tell you, the way white women somehow hijack the woke movement, generals around the world should be analyzing this. Just to refresh your memory, the woke movement was supposed to be about people of color not getting opportunities, the at-bats that they deserved, finally making that happen. And it was about that for about 8 seconds. And then somehow, white women swung their Gucci-booted feet over the fence of oppression and stuck themselves at the front of the line. I don't know how they did it. I've never heard so much complaining in my life from white women. My leg is so hard with my SUV and my heated seats. You have no idea what it's like to be me. Trash and white guys, the nerve. Where's the camera? The nerve of you white women. I don't want to speak ill of my bitches here, okay? I don't. But let's go back in history here, okay? You guys stood by us toxic white males through centuries of our crimes against humanity. You rolled around in the blood money, and occasionally when you wanted to sneak off and hook up with a black dude, if you got caught, you said it wasn't consensual. Yeah, that's what you did. That's what you did. So why don't you shut up, sit down next to me, and take your talking to. Thank you. I haven't been in New York for about a year, you know. I was here last year. I was shooting a movie. Had a great time with Judd Apatow, Pete Davidson, and all the guys. Yeah, had a great time. And I hadn't been here in like 13 years, and I immediately noticed how extra crowded the city was. And I was getting all claustrophobic. I'm like, what's going on? How much some people not using safe sex and making all these babies, you know? So I finally walked up to this old New York door guy, and I was just like, dude, what's going on? What's with all these people here? And he was just like, oh, no, don't worry. He goes, it's June. He goes, it's Pride Month. And I'm like, what's that? You know, I'm 52. I never heard of it, right? They didn't have that when I was a kid. He goes, oh, it's Gay Pride Month. And I was just like, oh. Dude, you know when you're just like stuck in the matrix and you just can't, everything's just pressed up. You can't see anything. And then somebody gives you that little nugget of information that just pulls it back. They're like, why is it so crowded? It's Gay Pride Month. Tank tops, 0% body fat, two guys kissing, rainbow flags. Ah! I didn't know that. That's what I learned. The month of June is Gay Pride Month. That's a little long, don't you think? For a group of people that were never enslaved. How did they get all of June? Dude, black people were actually racially enslaved, they get February. They get 28 days of overcast weather. Sun goes down at 4 in the afternoon. Everybody's shivering. Nobody wants to go on the parade. Look, yeah. How about you hook them up with July? These are equator people. Give them the sun for 31 days. There's gay black people. They could celebrate from June 1st, June 31st, 61 days of celebrating. All right, that's all my time. We got a great show for you guys, everybody. Jack White is here.
God, he's good, man.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, a bunch of white chicks were upset and demanding he be, I don't know what.
A bunch of gay people were upset, too, I suppose.
Oh, gay people were upset?
There were some because he didn't understand the LGBT thing. It's like, well, that's not really what the joke is about, but okay. The joke is really about the tire joke about the 28 days that Black History Month gets. That's really what, isn't that really what that joke is about?
Seriously, gay people are upset? I'm really surprised.
Well, okay.
I mean, because that means what? So pew people on Twitter?
It's probably white women in regards to gay people. Straight white women in their 20s.
Oh, you could be right.
You know
what I mean? I'm really amazed.
She's a white girl.
I mean, we bitch about it all the time, but I think Bill Burr put it into much better perspective. The idea that the world listens to Alyssa Milano and Bette Midler and Deborah Messing and Anne Hathaway and Pink constantly go on and on with every outrage.
Yeah.
Is so fucking ridiculous. I mean, they make a living at it.
Yeah, this story just says some criticized Burr for being insensitive to the way he addressed the LGBTQ pride in his monologue.
It was setting up a bit. Really? Yeah,
no, I know. It's comedy anyway.
And, you know, he made the thing about John Wayne really is funny. I mean,
it's hilarious.
I cannot believe we would cancel. They changed the name of the airport, didn't they?
I think they were trying to, but I don't know if they
should. Should we call the airport back?
Yet.
We've called them before.
Kyle. Didn't Kyle work there?
Was it Kyle?
Yeah.
Can we call the airport? I want to find out if they indeed changed the name, because that is so stupid.
You'll probably know when they answer.
It's about one interview he gave, and, you know, this canceling thing, by the way, the reason, first of all, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, someone who makes a mistake should apologize appropriately, and it should be good enough. And, you know, if the public at that point wants to not participate in their whatever it is.
John Wayne Airport.
Oh, there's your answer.
Press 1 to continue.
Oh, it's John Wayne Airport still.
1 to continue. Why do I have to hit anything?
I want to talk to somebody.
Ask for Kyle.
Transfer to the operator.
Why didn't the operators pick it up to begin with?
Thank you for calling John Wayne Airport.
Hi, this is the Drew and Mike Show calling from Detroit. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great. You know, I just saw this this thing last night on Saturday Night Live where Bill Burr was talking about John Wayne being canceled over an interview he did in the 70s, and I'd heard that the airport was going to change its name, but you haven't changed your name, have you?
No.
Oh, and it's going to stay the John Wayne Airport?
Yes.
I think I'm happy about that. I thought the whole thing was a little bit silly, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he said something unfortunate, but people make mistakes.
Yeah, do you care to put a comment to it?
No.
Oh. Hey, does Kyle still work there?
No, I don't know who Kyle is.
What? He used to be the operator last time we called.
Yeah, Kyle popped off all over the place.
Yeah,
Kyle was very opinionated, so we thought that you would surely put yourself on the line.
No.
But apparently Kyle did that because he knew he wasn't going to be working there much longer.
Okay, well, thank you, and there's no plans to change the name.
No.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Boy, she sounds quite certain about that. So that was a big bunch of bullshit. That was just a bunch of shit.
Noise, just, like 90% of it on Twitter.
It all feels like The Social Dilemma. You know, now I think of that. It was on Netflix, right? The Social Dilemma?
I think so.
Yeah. Did you watch it, Brandon?
I did. I thought it was fascinating.
It was fantastic. And it was a lot of stuff that, you know, we sort of knew to be true. But it really put it into great perspective and explained to you.
A bunch of disgruntled employees.
I mean, you're hearing it from the people who created these platforms. You're hearing it from the people who started some of the biggest companies ever. So they know what they're talking about. And they're not pulling punches.
But it is true that it sows discord. It elevates things that excite people. I mean, it's all about clicks. It doesn't matter about truth. It doesn't matter about importance. It's just clicks. That's all it is. And it's even worse
about
than
it being
that.
Like a slot machine, and every time you open up your phone because you see a light. I mean, isn't that so true? You're wondering, like, Jesus, maybe there is something for me. Maybe I have a message. Maybe I have this. And you just reach for it.
Ugh. Honestly, I find myself really stuck in it sometimes. I go, what the fuck is wrong with me? And I think about all these 13-year-old, 15-year-old girls who aren't getting the likes that their friends are getting, and it just horrifies me. I mean, it's terrible. As busy as we are making everything right and woke, nobody gives a shit.
Oh, it's on to the next one.
I know, but isn't it strange that people will just go absolutely bonkers over... You know, somebody mispronounces Martin Luther King's name, or, you know, the Sacramento Kings announcer said, all lives matter. And, you know, this gets all these wheels churning, and yet every second kids are posting stuff and trolling each other and bullying each other and getting their hearts broken because they don't have likes.
You did get to find those 13 people that had a common cause to kidnap the governor got together on Facebook, so that's great.
Yeah, and some of them were at the protest carrying weapons.
I still maintain, though, because they all met on Facebook, they were probably more likely to get caught because there'd be somebody in that group who would blow the whistle.
Well, like, would they really have found each other, though?
I would be more in fear of a lone wolf, like if that Adam Fox was plotting something in that vacuum basement by himself. I'd be more fearful of that than, say, a group, because someone in a group always talks.
My fear was that Governor Whitmer wouldn't get a fair trial in northern Wisconsin.
Probably not.
That was my biggest fear.
What a messed up situation. Free Press had a great story today about all of them.
What was the story about?
It's just basically each individual and how they got to that part based on what they know from court activity and neighbors and stuff like that. The one guy was just pardoned last year from the Delaware... He was in jail in Delaware, the one person not from Michigan who got arrested.
And the one guy's Antifa. I've seen his videos.
Was he really Antifa?
I don't know. That was the narrative right away that it was like, wait, no, these are left wing.
Yeah, of course.
They're not right wing.
Yeah, it's
even though most of them are Boogaloo boys.
It really, it's just so funny how people can't stand. No, there can never just be something that happens. It's never... Oh, well, yeah, this group of protesters, and yeah, they looted, rioted. It's a, oh, no, but it was those people. It was, and then
that's the fifth narrative.
Then those people do something, and, oh, no, it's those people. It's like nobody can accept anything. Nothing can just happen. Nothing can be a fact. It always has to be somehow turned around. It's the other guy's fault.
Because either the left is bad or the right is bad. That's all it ever is.
But, you know, on the subject of canceling people, I just can't get over how arbitrary and fake it is. And, you know, I saw Tory Lanez got arrested this weekend, finally, for shooting his girlfriend in the feet. Mm-hmm. He just put out an album. The songs are all about what a phony she is, what a liar she is, what a bitch she is. And I assume people are buying it. It's on all the platforms. He not only allegedly did he shoot her in the feet, he was making her dance because he was mad at her and shooting her feet. Now, can you imagine, is there anything fucking worse than that? Or is it really worse to mispronounce Martin Luther King's name or to mistype the word nuggets or to say all lives matter or to I don't know what? I mean, look at all the stupid things. The guy that had the fit at Chick-fil-A, who was, I mean, it was terrible. I agree. Did he deserve to have his life canceled? Well, the guy that shoots his girlfriend in the feet and tells her to dance is just rolling on, putting out music on all the platforms, just getting streamed away. And by the way, how many people have criticized Tory Lanez? I read that story about one guy. And somehow the Tory Lanez thing brought up Trey Songz. And I don't even really know why that. Did something happen with Trey Songz? Did he recently get...
I don't know.
I mean, I knew he's accused of beating up a girl in front of about 20 people. In addition to fighting the Detroit cop at the show, he was going to sue and all that. And they said, "Oh, well, yeah, I guess he gave sort of a fake apology, and they fined him, and I think they charged him with something." But I mean, nobody seems to care about that either. The fact that I think it's Trey Songz that.
The only news I can find about him is that he has COVID.
Okay, so nothing new. Maybe it was just something I clicked on with the story. But, you know, it's just phony. John Wayne, really? Were people really?
What story?
I mean, how did that even get so much attention?
I don't know. Twitter.
The story that Brandon sent today about Meghan Markle was so funny. I listened to this. Listen to this. Meghan Markle has apparently run out of people to talk to or to be interviewed by. So she's being interviewed by three high school kids who work, you know, do a show for their high school about bullying and about mental health, which she's an expert on mental health. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, she said she was.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite line that she said.
She's talked to a lot of people.
My favorite line that she said in Teenage Therapy, which is the name of the show. I'm told that in 2019, I was the most trolled person in the entire world, male or female. I'm told I was the most trolled. No, she was not the most trolled person in 2019.
Well,
there's no way. It would either be like, wouldn't it be Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, or Pelosi. Or, hey, how about these? How about these guys who had a great 2013? I don't know. Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein.
Well, but Meghan Markle asks for all of this. She puts herself out there constantly. It's like, you're nobody. There's nothing to talk about you. Why is there constantly new missives from Meghan Markle? Mm-hmm. You're not doing anything. You're just going from country to country, leaving behind after the whole world watched your wedding, pretending that, I thought that was just because I married this guy with the abnormally pink wiener. I had no idea that it was because I was royalty because I married this guy. I don't want that shit. This sucks. Fuck you. And then she goes to Canada and they want Canada to pay for their security. And she has no idea why anybody would take exception to any of this, which is incredible to me. But, you know, I listen to this show. This is how stupid it is. I actually listen to it. And it's these three teenagers who are having mental health issues, I guess you could say. And the one is talking about how he says, it's kind of funny because I can't imagine being a teenager and talking about this. It's like, what happened? You know, Dennis Miller used to say when Clinton talked about how, when I was 15, I met John F. Kennedy, I wanted to be president. He's talking about how he gave up a seat to somebody on the bus because of
Rosa Parks
Dennis Miller said that, you know, any guy that isn't detailing his van or, you know, watching football games or partying with his friends when he's 16, I think there's something wrong with the guy. And I keep asking myself the same thing when I hear these 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds who are so troubled. They're so worried about all these things. And I'm like, God damn it, be a teenager, or somebody let them be a teenager. So anyway, this kid starts talking about, well, they're exchanging, and then this one kid talks about how he's the son of a single mom, and, you know, he's been through this divorce, and his mom...
I should be back in school.
His mom is an immigrant, and for that, he has suffered because of all these things. And I think she has COVID. And so now, with COVID, she doesn't have COVID. She's just an immigrant single mom, and he's her troubled son with mental health problems. But since COVID, he's not around his friends like he used to be. So he has to spend all this time online. Meghan Markle responds, not by, you know, maybe discussing his problems, but by saying that, well, you think you got it bad. I was the most trolled person in the world in 2019. Got you on that one. I mean, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. That is pretty much where she goes from this kid's comment.
You've got a friend in me.
What an enormous toll it was. And she was on maternity leave for 8 months, so it was just manufactured and churned out. She had nothing to do with it. Meghan.
I will defend her on this.
Were countries that wouldn't pay for our security.
I'll defend her on this. Wasn't the kid supposed to be interviewing her? Nobody wants his life story.
Yeah, he was.
Well, no one wants his life story. She's the interviewee.
Well, it was to discuss Mental Health Day.
I know, but you know what
mental
I mean?
Health
I'm
day.
Just kind of joking, but you know what I mean. It's like the kid's the Rob Lowe of interviewers.
Well, I just would have thought that maybe after he discussed what a troubled teen was, that an adult person would not try to top him.
A normal person would have, yeah.
And by the way, she doesn't have it that fucking bad. She lives in a $17 million house, and, you know, on and on.
She hasn't worked in ages.
So, other entertainment news. Ellen DeGeneres' ratings nosedives.
Well,
nosedive.
Wait, I thought her first episode was the biggest ratings ever because everyone was looking for a train wreck.
Her first 2 weeks, I don't know, did you send that story, Brandon? I must have seen that on my own. because I
yeah,
said it to
think
myself.
I had the Ellen story.
Yeah, her. Let me find it.
By the way, Prince Harry's being summoned back to talk to Granny.
Oh, is he in big trouble?
Well, yeah, they've been in big trouble. He hasn't gone back and talked to Granny in a long time. The Queen.
Yeah, and they're not
talk about all their voting.
They're spending Christmas with David Foster and Catherine McPhee, who's freshly pregnant. So
well, that'll be the God. What,
help
what a miserable Christmas party that would be.
Wait a minute. How old is David Foster?
75, 70? I think.
70, I think.
He's going to have a kid?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, Catherine McPhee's only 36.
It's Charlie Chaplin.
She went to high school with Meghan.
Seriously?
Yeah. And she says that David Foster's now her surrogate father.
Oh, my God. So, oh, that's going to be so awkward when Harry's talking to David going, so what's going on? Because they don't know each other, right?
Harry.
You know?
Yeah. Harry's in his 30s. This guy's in his 70s.
That's going to be Harry's. David, why don't you play something for us?
Okay, here's the story about Ellen DeGeneres. This is in USA Today, so I did not make this up. Ratings for last month's premiere week of the Ellen DeGeneres show plummeted 38% from last year, suggesting a controversy over a toxic workplace, which led to the firing of three top producers, has spilled over into dwindling fan support.
Oh, wow.
Syndicated daytime talk show averaged 1.66 million viewers for the week of September 21st when she addressed the issues on the air, down from 2.67. She lost a million people, and she only had 2.7 million
people.
You
know, I think she's losing the entire male audience and many of the women.
Other shows were off, too. Dr. Phil was off 18%.
So people aren't just watching it? Wait, what was the Drew Barrymore show doing?
They didn't say. Live with Ryan and Kelly gained 2%.
Really?
Tamron Hall's up 4%. Rachel Ray fell 5%. No, so it's not like people just left the format. Drew Barrymore, which competes against Kelly and Ryan, had a very sluggish start.
I'm shocked.
With 940,000 for its premiere week. It fell to 796,000 a week later.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
You know, I was impressed that SNL made fun of it because that show is fucking bad. You know, I think I've saved one. Why don't you put on Friday's Drew Barrymore show?
Okay. Drew's News.
It is.
It's Drew's News.
It's so bad. It is just awful. And
the Drew's News segment is by far the worst part of the show.
I thought SNL would give her a pass because she's hosted the show. Because they used to do this. They used to pick on anyone, anything, not SNL. Yeah, I mean the Drew Barrymore show. And now it seems that maybe they're going to be a little harder edged, although I still haven't heard the first Hunter Biden joke. That might take a while. Okay, this is episode 20, so this would be the fourth week.
Here's
she had Tom Green on. I thought that would have been interesting, but I didn't check it out.
Yeah, I would have thought so, too.
Why am I dancing? Hi, everyone.
That's right. She has to talk to a giant video board of people watching.
Friday. Thank you for all joining me. I love Fridays. All right. It's fall. I've been talking about fall a lot lately because I'm a California wussy who has to, like, you know, kind of really transition with the weather. It's... I am from an area that doesn't have any weather. Well, I mean, you know, but just it's warm all the time. And so I'm not an East Coaster. This is a whole getting used to. Do you guys have any fall traditions? Anyone in our wall?
Oh, my God.
Perhaps a Kevin and a Kevin?
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Oh, the crowd loves it, though. What are we talking about?
Kevin.
Hi.
No, not you.
You
know
those guys are gay.
Kevin, I'm just kidding.
Oh, him. Okay. Oh wait. Yeah. No, me.
No, it was me.
Oh, okay. It was him. Okay.
What are your fall traditions?
Making out.
So we love to. There's an arboretum right down the street from where we live, and that's actually where we got married.
Boring.
And we love to just go and walk around and be with the trees. And aww. I occasionally like to hug
that's
them.
That's a great tradition.
So yeah.
This is very relatable so far.
That's our fall tradition because neither of us are allowed back to our parents' house for Thanksgiving.
We have the most extraordinary trees, and I've spent my life. In fact, I think it's like in my will that I'm going to be buried under an avocado tree. Not to be.
Interesting.
I'd say half a million next week.
And I had this tiny, weird little duplex my mom lived in. It was like, you know, really shabby and awesome. And I would say,
yeah, what a horrible life.
It's shabby and awesome.
I think trees are also an amazing way to see the seasons, which is why I'm so excited to be.
Oh, that's a hot take. Because trees are an amazing way to see the seasons.
Great.
Amazing foliage.
I'm kind of amazed this is still on.
Hot take.
Thank you, Kevin.
Whether this is on television.
Yeah.
All
that a big staff goes to work every day to put this on television.
I'm surprised that this would even be on YouTube. To be honest, this is really bad.
You know, it's going to be really awesome. And I'm going to give you the rundown on some things that we love, that you might love too, and our Weekender Guide.
Whoa! Should we see Drew's news? Where's Drew's news?
Jesus Christ.
So bad.
What an abortion.
Look, a bunch of people had to build this giant set to put this terrible bit
on. I know. How would you feel if you were going to work on this show every day? Oh, God. Who's this?
I think the worst part going to work on the show would be cheering because you're the only people in attendance. First,
what do you do for Halloween when all you want to do is give neighborhood candy to the kids? So you dust off the robot.
That was an edit, by the way. Did you see that?
And yes.
You
make him your
Halloween. Is this live? I thought she was supposed to be
live. I thought it was shot live.
At least that's what one man in Austin is doing this year. Yahoo News brings us this story.
But there's no trick-or-treaters, so this is dumb.
Who built a candy dispensing robot named Artie.
But everyone doesn't have one.
Interesting.
No way. Isn't Halloween canceled? Isn't that official?
Yeah, pretty much
seriously,
everywhere.
If you're ever doing an old-timey accent, just drop your R's and you'll be right there.
Great idea, though.
Luke will use an Xbox controller to pilot his creation down the streets, delivering sanitized candy bags to all the boys and girls.
Oh, I love Drew's news. Oh, my God.
So Drew's news is all positive news.
I'm so bored.
Is that the takeaway? Wouldn't it be great if you follow up with a vicious
Let's
murder?
See what the next story is. I don't know. You never know.
Just a horrific murder story.
Maybe.
In other Drew's news,
four children were murdered in broad daylight.
The Wolverine Watchman,
Michigan, has posted his mayoral home on Airbnb and offered to relinquish his title to any guests for the duration of their stay. That's right. You
must be the most boring woman on earth.
Hashtag mayor of hell. If you're looking for a devilish experience, nightly rates are just $31 and your soul.
I feel like every story she's reading is from the AP Wire.
Yeah. This is really weird.
Design trend, though, that actually really moves my soul because it harkens back.
I told you! I find them boring!
This is Flashback Finds.
Ooh, Flashback Finals.
Oh, Flashback Finals. I love this bit.
Brandon, this might be good. You might
enjoy this.
To report that conversation pits are back. This Instagram account, it's so cool, by the way. It's called History Cool Kids.
Oh, and she's using social media. That's brilliant.
Some pics of these 70s throwback pits, and it's sunken seating areas with plush cushions and
oh, just isn't that the kind of pit that Mick Jagger and David Bowie fucked in? Isn't that they get it on in a conversation pit?
I thought they were in a bed.
Oh, maybe. Well, okay.
These sunken living rooms are awesome. Hashtag sunken.
Yeah, that looks really affordable too.
And finally, we have a educators in Dallas going above and beyond. A recent United Ways report found that over half the households
United Ways
have trouble affording basic needs. So this couple launched a nonprofit to help students, and they're here to tell us about it.
That's so cool. Oh, they're going to be there.
Jesse Acosta.
They're there. They're on, oh my God!
What a huge get!
Oh, they get him so fast.
What a big get!
Great sound quality.
Oh, they have
too.
Terrible Zoom. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
The next season of Santa Clarita.
Jesse, thank you. You know, I've been thinking about where Sheila Hammond is. She might be around.
Okay.
Never. I mean, there's a few characters I've been lucky enough to be a part of that I feel like I got to be very myself in. And surprisingly, Sheila's one of them. But, Jesse, you are a high school teacher, and Alejandra, you're a tutor. And you're a couple, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And you're both...
They have OJ disease. They laugh at everything.
So for those who don't know what a sneakerhead is, can you explain that?
Who gives a fuck?
Exactly. Oh, my God.
That was Propecia turning it off.
Oh, boy.
I feel bad for Drew Barrymore.
Well, you know what's funny? She's using all her charm, all her cuteness, all her beauty, all those things that make Drew Barrymore can't possibly lift the show up to anything below a total bomb.
It's kind of,
Every bit of her personality is being put on hyperspeed to try and make this thing work, and there's just no putting it together.
Trying to be Ellen, and she can't be Ellen.
She's, well, I know, but she's trying to be flighty, cute, smiley, fun, Drew.
That's fine and if you're a wingman or something or being interviewed.
It's okay if she's like a spacey blonde guest, you know, who's kind of funny.
Yeah, but not.
Without trying. But, wow.
Well, it sucks because I generally like her, and so I don't want to see her like fail like that.
No, I don't either.
But you're seeing a lot of these stars. I mean, this is obviously a talk show, but I saw Elizabeth Banks the other day. She's hosting Press Your Luck. Mm-hmm. That's back. You know, no whammies and stuff.
I think she'd be good at that. Is she good at it?
Supermarket Sweep is coming back. With,
I can't wait. Leslie Jones is hosting it.
Jones. So they're, I love that show. These celebrities, they're taking whatever happened to the good old game show guy. Like this guy, I'm just a game show host.
No room for it because all these celebrities, they can't. It's hard to stay on the mountain, so they are kind of like they're downscaling in terms of their goals just to keep a career going, really, because you got to have something going on, and network shows just don't go for 20 years like they used
to. Plus, it's easy. I mean, why wouldn't Alec Baldwin want to host every, what's the one he hosts?
Family Feud.
But who wouldn't want to host that because you can go in and crank out 4 episodes in a week and then, you know, be done.
No, he does.
More than that, actually. They probably tape a day.
Look at all the space a guy like Alec Baldwin takes up in the celebrity universe.
He's does
doing
the match
movies,
game.
Podcasts.
Thank you.
Oh, Match Game? Is it Match Game? Yeah. That's a good game, by the way.
Is it?
Steve Harvey still does Family Feud, right? Or no?
Depends who's on it. Yeah, Harvey does.
So, you know, and Steve Harvey, he got famous with a syndicated radio show, and now he's chewing up.
And stand
up. He's hosting the fucking Miss Universe, and he's doing Family Feud. And I mean,
no one's allowed to look at him.
So, I don't know. What's going on with Drew's movie career? Is she aged out?
No.
I'm not saying she should. I think she's adorable.
She did have that one character she referenced. That is a newer show. Isn't that on Netflix or one of those where she plays like a person that eats people? I don't know. Some people like
cannibal.
It.
She plays cannibal.
Isn't the Santa Clarita Diet or some bullshit?
Seems to me.
So she is
active,
is my point.
Okay, I remember about 10 years ago when Drew did that roller skating movie that we had to go to,
which was
pretty fucking bad. And she had a studio, and she was, it's a woman producing movies and making movies. And, you know, what happened to that?
I don't know. Apparently didn't produce enough movies.
But that's exactly what the world needed, was females directing movies and producing movies and having movie houses. And, I mean, it seemed like everyone
just
wanted that to work.
She hasn't really done a movie since Blended, which was her movie with Adam Sandler. Another movie with Adam Sandler.
How's his Halloween movie, by the way? Anybody seen it?
I started watching.
I was going to watch it this weekend.
That's funny. I watched the first 10 minutes, and I stopped because I need to watch it to where I can write down drops because there were 2 in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't mean it's good. It just means that there's some.
I got some feedback suggesting that Charlotte might like it a lot.
Oh,
it's a
for
kids
children.
Movie.
Oh,
but
really?
It didn't sound like it was a terrible movie. I think
this
particular person.
I don't know, man. Charlotte, I was reading her story that had a thing about Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman in it. So sure enough, 4 in the morning last night, she came in because she was scared.
Charlotte.
And I said, honey, we talked about this before we read the book, that this isn't real. And she goes, I know, but I couldn't get it out of my head.
Aww.
Oh, poor girl. And then, of course, Annie woke up, and then the whole house is up at 4 a.m. So that's
Annie.
You know what I got sucked into on Netflix? And I'm dying to know if anybody has seen any of these episodes, but I went boom, boom, boom the first 3 episodes. Is Deaf You? Have you even heard of Deaf You?
No, what is it?
And I think it was recommended to me by Netflix because of my love of Love on the Spectrum, the dating show for autisms. Deaf You follows a bunch of college kids from Gallaudet. Do you know what Gallaudet is?
Uh-uh.
In D.C., it's the big deaf university.
Okay.
Where people go, and they follow them. You know, it's a
reality. I'm not sure this is going to be for me, but...
I got to tell you, though, if you like reality shows, especially when people
date...
Of
them.
The problem is you can't
It's a hearing impaired dating show.
It's not a dating show. They just follow their lives, which sounds really dumb now that now it's coming out of my mouth. But it's really intriguing, because they come from so many different cultures and they have their own culture within.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fascinating, especially like the black people on the show who can speak, which apparently is taboo because there's some people that are like, let me give you an example. So there's a girl.
They're hearing impaired and they can speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's different levels of deafness.
I'm going to binge this right after the show, I can tell.
There's different levels of deafness. But here's one interesting part. So,
and Brandon, where are the boring drops?
Some of the girls are really hot. So, not,
hey, this isn't boring to me. Well, I grew up in this.
It's an interesting concept, hearing impaired girls that are hot. But, hey, Marley Matlin.
Sure. Well, there's one chick that loves banging all the dudes. It's just dating one guy.
Wait, a hearing impaired slut?
Well, she's totally deaf, yeah. She comes from
doesn't it seem weird to think of, man, I know it's hearing impaired.
Shape, size.
No, I know. Of course they should be everything. But, I mean, it's just weird to think about. I never thought about a hearing impaired slut.
And then she got knocked up by his friend.
Oh, boy.
So, but there's one girl on there who does YouTube videos, kind of like fashion, but she doesn't do full sign language. So they show this shot of the other girls who are deaf watching it and are furious because she's catering to a hearing audience. And then the one girl's watching.
She's talking?
She's lipping and like mouthing it.
Oh, I see.
You know, she can make a little.
How do we
bit
know what she's saying? I don't read lips.
Well, they caption it.
Okay.
So, which is another thing, you have to have captions on.
I'm just
because
trying to throw a wrench into everything.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I thought it was going to be totally stupid, and I got sucked in the first episode. So these girls are ragging her for catering to a hearing audience, and the one girl's watching going, I actually liked it. I thought there's some pretty good advice in there. So there's these different cliques that, you know, you're not deaf enough, which whoever thought that in the deaf community they would want people that aren't deaf enough when it is such a small community of people.
What's it called? Really deaf you?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I would play the trailer, but, you know, people can't hear people signing. You can't do other things. Sense. You can't do other
now,
things while you're watching it.
Flint has the really big hearing impaired high school. And I used to have to go out there quite a bit. I have a family member who's hearing impaired. And they would have, you remember the beginning of Napoleon Dynamite when they're doing like the singing hands?
Yeah. Yeah. The Happy Hands Group Club.
Mm-hmm. Happy Hands Group. Yeah.
Napoleon's really good at it.
They would throw these like semi-annual events, these huge concerts. And it was actually really cool. I mean, it was, I was a little kid when I would go to those things, but you would hear, you know, they would make it an event. It was their concert. It was just great to see them signing along to all the songs, even though they can't hear them.
So Decider is the phrase. I just typed in Deaf U on Google. Decider pops up, and it just calls Deaf U. It's the unapologetically one of the most horniest, most dramatic, and wildest reality shows of 2020.
Really?
Yeah, because they're college kids in a very small, you know, group of people. So there's just tons of gossip and drama.
I think I might check it out. I mean,
it's intriguing. You have to watch the screen though, Drew. So I don't know if you'll like it.
I can do that. It takes a little more discipline. I can do that.
I want to find one of the girls so you can see how hot they are.
Well, that helps. That helps a lot.
I can do that.
I don't know. They'll say anything. I don't know. I really got sucked into it.
Have you guys, not to change the subject, because we can go on about this all night, but
fake!
I'm seriously going to try it. I'm seriously going to watch the show. I'm going to try it. Doesn't mean I'll last a long time, but I will try it.
Well,
it sounds strangely interesting.
Look, this is the YouTube girl. She's got a huge rack, too. That's her right there. She's cute.
She's beautiful.
This one's kind of a slut.
She's a pretty hot slut.
Yeah, but she's one of the elites, and that means that her family has money and went to an all-deaf high school, too. So she gets shunned.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, look, here's another picture. Oh, there's her rack. There you go. I mean, she could stand to slim down. But people don't like her because she's an influencer. I mean, she's 35,000 followers.
Because she's hot, and only because she's hot. Correct?
Yeah. I mean, this girl's not bad either.
Is that the which one is that?
Her name is Tessa.
That's not the rackstress, is it?
No. This is the girl. This is kind of the real horny one.
Cheyenne,
she's cute.
Or whatever.
He's cute though.
Oh,
I mean,
Alex.
If somebody
Alexa
has to be horny, it might as well be her.
I didn't know this, but did you know, Brandon? Maybe you did. That deaf people, when they have to sign their name, it's really, you know, it's a lot of things to sign, that they give each other one-word nicknames. So, like, the one girl likes candy, so they just call her Candy because it's one symbol.
Growing up, mine was always just the letter B. And
yeah.
How does this girl, is there anything to her putting out? I mean, is there anything different about putting out for a deaf slut than for a regular slut?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, does somebody have to sign, like, you know, I want to...
Like this? Although you will catch sign that. The oral sex thing, but you will catch that because of slang and stuff that they do. It really is fascinating. And it's fascinating when they go out to eat, because how do they communicate in the hearing world? And this one girl's out to eat, they got mad at the waiter because they put the water bottle in between them. So they had to move it because they don't have the full vision of signing.
Oh,
it's just little things us privileged hearing people don't think about. I know it sounds stupid, but it really, people should give it a chance because it's really fascinating.
Well, I've got so many problems to worry about that I don't know how much I can worry about their problems, but I am interested in their world.
Especially the studly dudes.
Well, you never think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about studly deaf people because it just wouldn't cross my mind. I just think of somebody, you know, who needs to communicate and is doing the best they fucking can and should hopefully be able to do anything that anybody else can.
He's kind of a dick. I'm just saying.
No, again, it's really sort of bringing
all life. She's a lesbian, this one. She's cute.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about that guy yet, although he does pick up a hot Asian chick out at the bar.
Oh, he looks like he thinks he's hot.
Yeah, probably.
Have you guys heard about the Cal Cunningham affair?
Negative.
Really? Why is this under the radar? I can't figure it out. It's a fascinating story. Cal Cunningham is running for Senate in North Carolina.
Okay.
And what happened was he's married. He's happily married. He's, you know, wonderful, beautiful family. Oh, you know about?
Yeah, because of the text messages. Go
right,
ahead.
Right,
yeah,
right. Sorry. But isn't this under the radar?
Yeah.
Why is this under the radar?
Because he's a Democrat, so no one's reporting it.
No, I'm serious.
I don't know why it's under the radar.
Oh, he's a Democrat? I didn't even know he's a Democrat. Yeah. He's still a senator. I mean, or he's leading the Senate. He's leading the Senate race in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. He's not a senator yet. He's the candidate.
No, but he's leading.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think it'd be a huge story. I mean, I would think it'd be like when these text messages came out, I would think it'd be one of the lead stories on morning news, on evening news. It would just be a big fucking story. I haven't really seen it until somebody sent me one of the stories, and then I started diving on it. I was diving on this and Webby at the same time, which is kind of weird.
Yikes.
But anyway, so
you were horny and sad?
No, I wasn't. I did look up. I did look up the girl he was texting with, Arlene Guzman Todd. She's married to an Army veteran. He's married to this lovely young lady. They've got beautiful kids. It's a perfect senator family. I mean, it all looks great. And then, what happened? These text messages just popped out, and I'm like, well, where'd these text messages come from? And it sounds like her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he decided, okay, not only am I so fucking pissed about this that I'm going to set this asshole straight, I'm going to let the whole world know. And the thing is, it's like, but that's your wife and that's your life. So I thought for a minute that, well, so he's just kamikazing.
Done with her. Yeah,
he's but done I with her. I figured he's kamikazing everything.
Yeah,
but it doesn't sound
scorched
like he
earth.
Is.
Scorched earth.
Yeah, scorched earth. Yeah. But I don't think it is because I think still with her.
Wait, what did Todd Corser call it? Is that a controlled? Is it a no? It's
controlled
not
burn.
Not really.
It's not a controlled burn at all.
It's scorched earth.
So anyway, the text which you obtained planned a private meetup. Hey, you are historically sexy, Cal Cunningham wrote. Every day and night. When can I see you? I want to kiss you. Guzman Todd. She wrote back. When can I see you? I want to kiss you.
You like
she
what back. You say, huh?
I mean, did he say, no, that was from Joe Namath.
She said, get away for a night soon. The longer we wait, the crazier fall schedules will get. In the spirit of the, I like what I like on your adorable video, I operate under the I want what I want approach, and I want a night with you. Sounds wonderful. I want that, Cunningham said. In a later text, Guzman... By the way, these people seem a little stilted to me. This seems like a strange for people that want to screw on the side. This seems like it'd be a little more exciting.
Yeah, so a total missionary.
Kind of.
Over in 5 minutes.
In a later text...
On top of a towel.
She writes, pick a day, city, make up an excuse for the fam, ditch a staffer, start your white shirt, and be ready to kiss a lot. To kiss a lot?
Really? No, did he write back? No, thanks.
Also obtained were texts between Guzman Todd and a friend about the affair. Guzman Todd denigrates Cunningham's wife. Talks about her husband, who has called on Cunningham to drop out of the race. So her husband, like, I want him out of the race. Okay, so here's what. This is what the politicians send me. Wait. Okay, who's this? Sex between Arlene Guzman Todd and friend, warning graphic language. And this is what the politician sent me. You're going to be the best therapist ever at this rate. Sorry you're having to deal with it. Be strong. I know you are. On Monday. Haven't heard from him since. Quite frankly, he doesn't deserve my pussy. He's not even cute enough for me. It's the power I'm attracted to.
I know. I had a pussy if you ran a shit. I'd be like squirting.
He's not even cute enough for me. It's the power I'm attracted to, Guzman Todd writes. But it's fucking dumb. I'm like a convalescent hospital for broken men, she continues. Make them feel better to be with a hot woman, and then they disappear.
Hot woman. She thinks a lot of herself.
According to the text, Guzman, she's pretty hot. I don't,
it's okay.
I don't know that she's that much hotter than him.
She wants it so bad.
According to the text, Guzman Todd frets about not hearing from Cunningham and tells her friend she used to hear from him almost every day. LOL. I'm just going to send his opponent his naked photos, Guzman Todd wrote. That will teach him. So apparently sent her nude photos.
Yeah.
I mean, this stiff senator. She looks like a total stiff. Can you see that guy sending nude photos?
No. No.
Can't either.
No, he's no Wiener. No Anthony Wiener.
Let's see. New text emerging. Cal Cunningham sexting. Again, this story is not easy to find. It's like you... I really sort of had to Google carefully. As silly as that sounds, 2 days ago, Cunningham dodges questions. North Carolina Senate candidate. Cal Cunningham, Democrat, declined multiple times on Friday to say whether he carried on other extramarital affairs after he admitted last week to exchanging romantic text messages with a woman who is not his wife. In his first formal text or news conference, since intimate text message emerged, Cunningham and a married California communication strategist surfaced last week. Cunningham repeatedly dodged questions about whether more revelations about his personal life would come to light. I've taken responsibility for the hurt that I've caused in my personal life. He's also ghosted the piece of ass he was getting. I've ghosted the piece of ass I was plunging. Let's see.
He's probably so backed up.
I apologize for it. And I know that this campaign, our campaign is about things that are much bigger and more important than just me and the pussy I'm getting on the side, which was hot, by the way. It's about the very issues and people we were just talking to right here.
I like this text that she sent to the friend, the one where she also said that he's not cute enough for me.
Yeah.
She wrote, I'm sure he'll get around to texting at some point. Maybe my lack of reply will be sufficient. I mean, I just don't think he cares. I know he's busy, but I mean, he has to poop. So that's the perfect time to text because you know he's all up there. In other words, come on, he's gonna take a shit eventually. He can't reply then.
Oh, she means like he never has a chance to reply.
Yeah, she's like he has to take a shit every once in a while.
He could reply if he wanted to reply.
He doesn't want to, you dope.
He's ghosting her. He might be, he might be keeping himself in permanent refracting zone.
Maybe.
He's pounding off constantly. So he's totally refracting. So he's just really not into her when he's refracting.
Maybe.
This is some other text from him to the girl. Would make my day to roll over and kiss you about now. Cunningham says in one of the text messages were first published online in the right-wing website National File.
I mean, it's, why don't you kiss me?
Okay, so this comes from the right wing.
No, it's the Times wrote a story about it, the NBC News, The Hill.
Politico.
Yeah, CBS News, CNN.
But you guys didn't even know the story.
I didn't know the name, but I knew when you said send it in text, I remember.
Do you know the story, Brandon?
I don't know the story.
No, I did not know the story.
I felt like the story was hiding from me or something because I just came into it.
But you're right. I haven't seen it on any...
I haven't seen it on TV.
TV channels. And doing a Google search, I was able to find a couple stories. But yeah, for the most part, I had no idea this was going on.
The revelations about the affair have rattled Cunningham's campaign against Senator Tom Tillis, pending a race that Democrats see as critical to their hopes of capturing a Senate majority. Republicans have seized on the scandal, of course, in recent days, arguing that the affair undermines the morality and integrity that Cunningham has exposed frequently on the trail. Tillis' campaign launched a television ad this week, hitting Cunningham over the scandal. Recent polling, however, shows little movement in the race between Cunningham and Tillis. Survey shows Cunningham.
I do have audio of how the whole thing started, the whole affair.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you will go down and suck Cunningham's dick, who's the head of customs, you will save this festival.
Interesting.
Let me I don't think that was related. That might have been Fire Festival related. I apologize.
It's easy to get that stuff mixed up. I mean, the name. Let me see if it, there might be
some
more.
She had Cal Cunningham in her phone, too, by the way.
Oh, what was it?
Cal Fire Emoji Cunningham.
That's what I mean. Her husband just like spent hours in her phone and he copied everything and he just, I mean, it's total scorched earth. Isn't it?
Yeah.
National File. That's where all this started. Let's see. National. Because there's stuff that.
She also wished her his son a happy eight-year-old birthday.
Yes.
He was so little when we met and he wrote, thank you. Would make, and then she follows it, would make my day to roll over and kiss you about now.
Hot. That sounds so hot.
Right, maybe he said that. I'm sorry. He said that to her.
Yes.
Yeah. But he wished her son a happy 8th birthday, which is nice.
I'm looking at her husband right now because there's a story about it. It's like 4 years old about his injury. He like broke his spine during a military.
Well, he should bring that up. He should be talking about that. Cal Cunningham, National File, exclusive.
And when I hear Cal, I just think of the bad guy from Titanic.
New text tomorrow. Oh, no, I just saw that. Cal Cunningham, sexual messages. Confirmed romantic texts. I guess there's really nothing else. Anyway, did we see 48 Hours last night?
No. Was that new?
Yeah, I think it was about the Ahmad.
You mean Dateline?
Ahmad Ahmad or whatever his name is in Georgia that was murdered by those wannabe cops.
Yeah.
You know, I've just said it. I can't stand wannabe cops. These people who think, you know, that they are going to handle justice.
Or wannabe military.
Now, if you
did that story go away after the George Floyd said.
If you want to kidnap a governor and put her on trial with a fair jury, that's different.
Oh, yeah, totally different.
But these guys, and honestly, if you saw 48 Hours, you know what I'm talking about. I was getting so mad at their defense attorneys who are trying to suggest that they did nothing wrong. And, you know, this guy, the neighborhood was out of its mind over what was going on in this empty house under construction.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were threatened. And these two fucking guys are waiting with guns for this guy who jogs through the neighborhood to come through. And there's so much focus on the fact that he's black and they're white that it obscures the fact that they're fucking acting like they're the police or something. You know, hey, they call the guy that owns the house. Hey, I'm a retired investigator. I live down the street. Let me know if you have any more problems inside your house. Because the guy had kids going in there and stuff. And so he put a camera inside, which finds Ahmad walking in there, doing nothing, and walking out and continuing his jog. Yeah. So they invented this entire thing in their heads. The guy who they called and said, oh, I'm a retired investigator. This is terrible. What's going on with your house? Call me if I can be of some help. He never calls them.
Yeah, he said, thanks, but no thanks.
Right, because why would you want your fucking neighbor to do something about it?
You wouldn't.
I mean, would you?
The original people were taking stuff, though, right? Weren't they? Or
I got the impression there was really nothing going on. There were kids going
built.
In. Yeah, it was being built. I mean, people walk in properties like that all the time. If there was one being built next door, I'd probably want to walk in myself.
Yeah.
Go, hey, what's the floor plan?
Remember, I took all those nails when I was in kindergarten.
So I just got so fucking pissed. First of all, that the guy that took the video, who it turns out is really part of this.
Yeah.
Because he chased the guy And he also, I think he tried to block him with his truck, too. Or was he just following him with his truck and recording?
I think he blocked him, but the video we see is later when he's following him.
Right, he's following him.
Yeah.
And then he records them shooting this guy. And they're trying to stop him from running like he's committed a crime.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're not the police. Why didn't they call the police? They don't call the police until they've shot him.
Yeah.
Till he's dead on the ground. And then what infuriates me is that the guy with the video, they turn it over to the police there. Mm-hmm. And this goes on for a couple months. One guy recuses himself. He's like, oh, I know these wonderful patriots. I know these guys.
The prosecutor. Yeah.
Yeah. He recuses himself. He knows them. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, why would anybody who is on the prosecutorial level, or, you know, why would you want someone to get away with this? That's what I just, that blows my mind. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you want to cover or help someone who just shot a guy jogging because he went in an abandoned house? Now,
because you don't think maybe that guy's guilty? That Ahmaud Arbery's guilty?
Ahmaud Arbery's guilty? He's the one that's dead.
No, I know, but maybe he was doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Walking in an abandoned house? A house that's under construction?
Sure.
I mean, haven't most people done that at a time or two?
Yeah.
I just thought...
Maybe they felt he didn't belong in that area.
Maybe...
Oh, yeah. No, they did. No, the two guys. I mean, I'm not making any excuses for the three guys. Oh, the prosecutor? Well, I don't know. But if he does,
then...
That's
a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
So he's okay with murdering someone for going in a property that's under construction. He's fine with that. I mean, really? No, he's not, because it's gone over his head now. And they've, you know, naturally this thing has come to light. And now that everybody's seen, it's like, oh, well, holy shit, this is bullshit. And these two guys have been arrested. And the third guy is arrested, too. And, you know, it seems to be, well, this is what was troubling to me last night, was they're trying to make it about, you know, whether it's a hate crime. It's like, why don't you prove the murder? And, you know, the hate crime is a separate thing, but it's like the defense, it seems to me, if they can prove, or they seem to think if they can prove that, no, it's not a hate crime, then maybe they can get out of the whole thing. Because so much is focused on the fact that he's black and the three guys are white. Now, I'll give you an example. The three guys, of course, they have their phones, which, you know, is really quite something when you think about it, because their phones, you know, they are in terms of this incident itself and the phoning and texting going between these three people. Yeah, it's important. I agree. They should know that. And they can. So they get the phones. But of course, they go through all their other text messages and they find out that, whoa, this guy and this guy, all three of them, they love throwing the N-word around and not in very flattering ways. So they're asking the defense attorney, you know, well, you know, obviously this very unflattering. He's throwing the N-word around. He said this. And the guy's like, well, but he's not a racist. And then he says that, you know, he was in the military and he saved this black guy once.
Oh, that
from,
one time. Yeah.
Yeah. That one time he saved that black guy. If he was a racist, he would let him drown. Oh, my God. So the reporter's going, so you don't have a problem with this guy saying the N-word all over the place. He's like, no, I wouldn't say it, but he's not a racist. And I just felt like so much of it was hinging. They killed the guy. The guy's fucking dead. And all three. Well, you know, the third guy's an interesting case. I don't know how he should be punished. But the father and the son, fuck them. Mm-hmm. They should go away. Why are they blocking this guy from getting through, holding rifles, both of them?
Sure.
And he shoots the guy.
Doesn't the race come in before a motive as to why they were playing police?
Well,
they're not being charged with a hate crime, are they?
Yeah, I think they are. Okay. Yeah, I think that's you know, it's interesting when you charge someone like that in a case like that. A lot of times,
the third
you
guy's being charged with false imprisonment, I guess, because he blocked them.
Yeah, so
that's a kind of a weak charge.
You can get to like 15, 20 years, and then you throw the hate crime in, and maybe you make it 30 or 40 years.
Sure.
So it, I don't know. I was just afraid, in a way, a weird way, that the hate crime somehow, it seemed there's so much focus on that might be the determining factor with the jury. Like, well, no, it's not a hate crime, so therefore, involuntary manslaughter or something. Because these fucking guys.
We'll see how it's presented, though. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't. But I just thought it was, again, two guys who are wannabe cops,
sure,
and who like running around with their rifles, and it was just bullshit. And I understand, you know, I don't like the idea of somebody in my neighborhood doing something fucked up either, but they didn't have anything to go on. They really didn't. And the guy who owned the property, seems to me if the guy that owns the property that's unfinished, that people walk through, if he doesn't have a problem, should they be so upset that they have to stop this guy themselves? And in fact, they were trying to suggest at one point that, oh, they have a right to do a citizen's arrest and to, you know, handle this thing all themselves. And once that guy became a threat, if they felt threatened, yeah, they can shoot him. And then that was sort of shot down because that is not the law. That's not the way the citizen's arrest thing works. It's a little more complicated. But
I still find it hard to believe that citizen's arrest is a real thing.
I do, too. I really don't. I'm trying to think of a case where, since other than Andy Griffith. I mean, it happened on Andy Griffith. And it was very effective, by the way. But, no, I haven't seen a lot of citizen's arrest that really worked. And I don't think anyone's convicted on citizen's arrest. Maybe somebody will send us an email. That's a funny topic.
Citizen's arrest. The time a citizen's arrest has worked?
Just that somebody actually did it. It's kind of funny to me.
I thought for sure you would have gone off about Dateline because, once again, it's that situation where there's a horrible partner, spouse, partner, boyfriend who,
yeah.
You know.
No, it was a terrible story, too.
It's the wife, but she didn't press charges. She never called the police.
Yeah, he apparently beat her to such an extent that she ran out of her own apartment. She got away. He was strangling her. She somehow subdued him, ran out of her apartment half-dressed to her uncle's house and just decided that I'm just separating from him. We have two kids together. We'll pass them back and forth. I'm moving on.
And then he stalks her, and she never reports that either because she's scared.
Yeah, she knows somebody's in her apartment. Plus, she thinks someone's
custody.
In there.
How about the fact that they share custody? She's missing for a week, and the guy's like, shows up to the aunt's house, doesn't even ask.
No.
Here's the kids. But then that led to a great moment where the detective finally gets, so this guy who ends up being the suspect, spoiler alert, says, hey, I want to pick up some of the toys and kids' stuff from the crime scene. For the kids.
So he has to call the detective.
So the detective's like, well, we've been trying to talk to you, you know. And he's like, I don't want to say anything about that. And he's like, okay. Well, meet us at the crime scene because he wanted him to be at the scene of the crime.
That was great.
So then he's like, I find it really interesting. You don't have any interest in your baby mama's disappearance and murder. You don't have any questions. He's like, oh, yeah. Do you have any suspects? The detective goes, yeah, you motherfucker. Which, oh, why isn't that on tape somewhere to watch the guy's face? That'd be great to see his face go, what?
I know, that was very funny. His only interest was, am I in any trouble here?
Did
I get away with this?
Was awesome. He was a really good detective.
Yeah, he was cool. I liked watching him. And I watched
terrible,
a lot of...
Terrible story.
I watched a lot of cold cases on with Bill Curtis.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. Those are usually pretty good. I'm trying to think if there's any really good over the weekend. God, I must have watched 10 of them. I can just roll through them. And
it's, oh, man.
They're fairly predictable, but still very good. You know what? I wanted to do a shout-out, first of all, before my shout-out. It has been declared by some. Some people are saying it's Mike Clark week.
Oh,
because Mike died
2 years
ago this week.
16th. Is that right?
Is it the 18th or 16th? I can't believe
I'll go with. I'll defer to you. I thought it was the 16th.
It sounds like this. Yeah, the 16th sounds right. And we had that great
15th.
15th?
15th.
Maybe it broke.
It was our show on the 16th, maybe. That we took. No, it was the same day. No, I'm lost. The 15th does not sound right to me. Anyway, it's this week. We'll figure out the date. But I was hoping, Brandon, can you find some stuff from Dan? To run after the show, if not today, every other day, maybe a couple days next week, and keep Mike out there. And interesting that Dan, there's three people who are real experts on this show who remember things in incredible detail who should not. One is Dan Evans.
Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm. One is Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony, is it Ash?
Ashford.
Anthony Ashford, yeah. And Rashone. Mm-hmm. Rashone has a great memory for the show. So two of our real historians are black, which is almost in line with the composition of the audience. Not quite, but close. And I wanted to mention that Rashone Bryant.
Wow, yeah, good for him.
He does the Sneaker Box podcast. He's really, I mean, for a guy who works at Chrysler and just like, you know, I love sneakers. I'm going to just start a podcast. Mm-hmm. This thing has grown and grown and grown, and it's got tentacles here and tentacles there, and he's doing a remote for Nike here, and he's doing... I mean, people in the sneaker business, they know
Rashone. Nice shoes!
And, you know, they want him to design shoes. They want him to constantly wanting him to try out new shoes and to wear shoes. If you follow Rashawn on Facebook, you can see him. He's a badass, too. Did you see the picture in the story with him and him next to the Joe Louis fist?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic.
He's a hard worker, and he's got a very engaging personality. That's why he succeeded.
Yeah, he knows the sneaker world as well as anyone. He's good at his podcast. He has lots of personality. He's funny as hell. I mean, he had us dying that one day. I forgot why we called him. And he came in and did the show with you guys when I was out.
Yep.
But, yeah, and he likes our show. That's the main, that's the best thing about Rashawn Bryant. But Business Insider put out a power list of the 28 people of color transforming the sneaker industry. And he's on the list.
Yeah.
Rashawn with that little podcast he started right here, and he's grown this thing and honestly has reached so many people that he made this list, which is just fantastic. And I hope, you know, this is just another step for him, because it seems like it's step by step, something here, something small, a remote for Nike. He was down at the Nike store. I think they're playing that show actually in certain shoe stores too.
Cool.
Which is, you know, that's great stuff, man. This thing, I feel like it ought to be a syndicated radio show, like for a sports station on the weekends or something.
He's tried.
I thought
it happened at
97.1 on Sunday morning.
No, you got to pay for that time.
Well, no, I wouldn't think you'd have to pay for that time, because there's sneaker companies who would pay for advertising. If they had a lick of sense, they'd know that.
If anybody wants to follow him too on Twitter, it's at African Caesar, and it's AF. R-I-K-A-N, Caesar, C-E-A-S-E-R.
And Rashawn, R-A-S-H-O-N-E, Bryant, just like Cullen Bryant or B-R-Y-A-N-T on Facebook, if you want to like him. And like our Facebook, too, because we need likes. I don't know why. People just stop liking our Facebook. I stopped talking about it. They stopped.
I almost hate it. Jeez.
Crying out loud. Anyway, yeah, that would be great to see him get some new followers. And if you're interested in sneakers, by all means, check out the Sneaker Box podcast. I'll have to talk to Rashawn one of these days before he gets too big to talk to us. I'm telling you, things are really moving for him. For a guy that started just out of nothing, out of nowhere. I mean, I love seeing that, something that grows organically. You know, without any of the masters of the universe anointing it, he's just built it bit by bit, piece by piece, and it's really cool. And speaking of podcasts, there's a Joy Division New Order podcast that is going to be coming up soon. I guess it hasn't started yet, but I think it must be in the can. And they've got a lot of great guests like Liam Gallagher and Bono and all kinds of people from that whole new wavy period of the 80s and 90s. And
how much more can be done about them?
Well, I you know,
that's what's crazy.
Peter Hook writes a lot, but I don't think Bernard Sumner has said that much. And the other two,
he's in kind of a...
Yeah, Peter calls him a cunt about 500 times in that book.
I told you, that New Order documentary on Showtime was like, I don't really like this guy.
That was a terrible documentary,
awful.
By the way.
Yeah, because they don't want to talk about the old stuff.
Well,
I bet you he has nothing to do with this podcast.
No,
I don't think he does.
But he is interviewed for it. So, I mean, it sounds everyone's
finally
participated in it, so that's cool. And let's see, there were a few other entertainment notes. Tatum O'Neal was threatening to jump off a balcony, and she's on a psychiatric hold now. And, boy, you know, I thought she was sort of past all that, but sad.
Well, didn't her dad just die?
Yeah, a while ago.
Wait, who died?
Didn't Ryan O'Neal just...
No, he didn't die. They just had a reunion. Remember? It was Ryan and Tatum. He hadn't seen her in like 17 years or something.
Oh, it was a reunion. That's
probably what made her want to jump off the balcony.
Wait. Didn't something in his orbit die or...
Well, Farrah Fawcett died, and is Redmond her troubled kid? Where the fuck is he?
Oh, he's doing wonderful. Wherever he is.
I mean, is he in prison again? Or I mean, if he's not in prison, I'm always surprised.
No idea.
And I guess it's
Kevin Durant has a new podcast coming out.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, as a podcast, I sent this to Carl immediately because Carl's on next week.
Yeah.
And so
I get it. Yeah.
Pitbull as a podcast.
Who?
Pitbull.
Oh, really?
Vinny, the high maintenance intern, I'm sure will enjoy
need to
that.
Catch up with Vinny.
No, I'm seeing him on Facebook. Brandon, can you reach Vinny, the high maintenance intern?
Yeah.
Because all you have to do is
talk
to him for 2 minutes and it'll start coming out.
I don't know, the drama in his life. I don't know if I want to. God, I'm going to be rattled. I don't know if I should be on your broadcast.
Let's see. The one thing he'll love is how well Trump's doing, because he's a big fan of Trump. And he'll love... no, he won't love it, even though they're doing okay. He'll be mad at the Eagles. He's a huge Eagles fan, and he takes it... His love of the Eagles is so strong, it's just weird.
I'm more interested in his romantic life. That's always where the excitement is, and always where the drama
probably
is.
Probably as a kid now.
Well, that would be wild.
If you remember. From what I've seen, I think that he may be in a long-term relationship and, yes, is raising a child.
What?
Wait, her child?
I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the specifics. I've just seen him...
Wait, that's... We've heard that story before, though, because remember he was the girl that the delivery man... Yeah. Didn't the...
Yeah, the Jimmy John... Yeah,
the Jimmy John's...
A, it's a weird story, though.
He alleged that...
I want to talk about that story. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there was... what was awesome was when we were broadcasting... Was it before the Tiger game? The opening game, and his girlfriend showed up at the remote.
Yes.
And so they were able to have it out in the air, and it turned out that Vinny lost it because she was pissed because he wouldn't dance with her, and it turned out he wouldn't dance with her because he was ashamed because she'd been dancing to a Pitbull song. That's what made me think of him.
Yeah.
Vinny wrote, here's his most recent Facebook post. I hate bald people with beards. Who do they think they are? What? The one before that. Why don't you guys tell me Taylor Swift was voting for Joe Biden? I feel like such a jerk now. That's pretty funny. That's funny.
Stubbers.
I love how guys on Adderall tell me I need to cut out carbs if I want to lose weight. What?
I guess the assumption is that the Adderall is making them kill their appetite, so they're snorting Adderall all day while Vinny's trying to do it the real way.
I'm getting so fat I can't even post a status without running out of breath.
I see. He's really getting fat. And drink he used to be in shape.
I post pictures of my tan body while I flex.
What the fuck am I watching? That's all I'd say. I don't know what he was watching that day.
He
was watching the debate.
He posted something about Soros is a good man. That can't be him.
No. Wait, that would not be
Soros. Oh, that's someone. No, Vinny Stubbs. Soros is a good man. You just hate him because he's Hungarian. What?
Wait, that's his girl. She's
his girl.
Cute.
Yeah, she's cute. No, he always has cute girlfriends.
See, look at this. Look at this family man.
Wow. Well.
Adorable kids too. Stubbs. Well, Stubbs. Nice job, Vinny. Don't fuck it up.
He makes the same face in every picture.
Does he practice that face?
Yeah. The half smile.
He does make the same face.
Oh, he
looks upset there. She must have been dancing a pit bull. He does. He makes the same face in every picture.
He's a good
What's
dude.
With that thing of hair up in front? What's up with that?
I don't know, man. You got me rattled.
I don't know, man. This is my hair. So I don't know.
Got me rattled. God. The meeting at Greater Media had him rattled that one day.
There were so many times when he'd be on the air and I'd start talking and he would be motioning like, don't mention this story on the air.
So
he was always so scared about being on the air.
There was one other entertainment note that I thought was interesting. Did you guys read the Phil Collins story?
Yes! What the fuck?
I know. This story is really incredible. He's married to this chick. In the early, well, actually the 90s, and they have a couple kids together, and they get divorced in 2006, as many people do, and she gets $46 million,
Bad.
She and Phil raise the kids to, I guess they're adults now, right? Yeah, they must
be. I think so.
They were born in the 90s, so yeah, they're adults. So all's done with the kids, and then somehow, this is the part that made me laugh, they get back together, and it turns out that this, I didn't learn till later, she had blown the $46 million out her ass.
Yeah.
She made some bad investments. It's like, how do you blow, when you've never had money in your life, you get $46 million, how do you blow it all?
I don't know.
What do you think you just put, I'm just going to put $10 million aside.
Yeah.
$10 million in case something goes nuts with the other 36, I'll have 10. I'll always have 10.
You have 10 plus the interest.
And if you have 10, you always have more than 10 because you can make more than enough to live on every year. But no, she blew it all out her ass. So next thing you know, what am I going to do? I'm broke. I got to get back with Phil, I guess. So she gets back with Phil, and everything's going okay, I guess, except that she's spending a lot of time at his vacation house, mm-hmm. while he's busy, you know, he was touring for a while, sitting in a chair on stage, singing all that weird stuff. Yeah. And turns out that while she was at the vacation home, she married someone else.
It's crazy. That'll happen.
It's just crazy.
That'll happen sometimes.
But she didn't tell him.
I know. So now he wants her out of that house. She had until 3 p.m. last Friday.
And she wants more money.
So he changed the security codes, too. Oh, no. I'm sorry. She changed the security codes and has been very rude to the staff.
Don't you love that?
So now he's got to go through an eviction process.
I just love that she wants more money. Well, he was supposed to take care of me, and even though I married someone else, and I think he should give me more money.
Yeah. By the way, she looks like a older, fatter version of Chrissy Teigen.
I know. She's gross.
She's disgusting. Phil, you can do much better.
Phil, what are you doing? What do you think about it? Although he really looks
really brittle, though.
Well, he could have done much better.
He looks extremely doddering, doesn't he?
Well, he's
I mean, is he that? How old is Phil?
Well, no, but he had that injury, right?
I know, but why does he look so doddering?
I don't know.
I mean, he looks like he couldn't put two words together. Because I heard at one
that'd be great
he's
if he
69
ended every,
years old. Oh, he looks better in this picture.
If he ended every phone call with her with. I want you out by 3 p.m. Friday.
Instead of click. A Melrose hang up.
Yeah. Click.
God, I heard a Just Melrose hang up somewhere, and it really made me feel good. And that reminds me, God, she is gross.
She's disgusting. She looks like
huge.
An old, fat Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, God, Chrissy Teigen. She's going to look terrible.
By the way, Chrissy Teigen has returned to social media.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Social media just wasn't the same without her.
She made a post about getting her eyebrows waxed.
Oh, Jesus. So there was talk about Genesis with Phil playing drums and Peter Gabriel singing Getting Back Together about 6 months ago.
Can he play?
I don't know. They were implying that he was getting therapy and that maybe, you know, maybe. maybe. So the other, you can hit the outro. The other rock and roll note was that.
Go to therapy and figure it out.
There's Peter Gabriel. He's putting the routine together. Phil's like, I can't play. And he just says,
go to therapy and figure it out.
A lot of people were very angry at Jon Bon Jovi because he said, is somebody going to hit the show outro?
Yeah. There's a bit of breaking news. So
there is. We'll go ahead with that first.
Name that tune host, Tom Kennedy.
Yeah, I remember him.
Was alive until today. He died at 93.
Wow. He was 93? I didn't think he was that old.
He was still alive, just like Whitey Ford was still alive. And you find out they died.
That's kind of surprising. I mean, I just forgot. I forgot he existed. So I guess I would have thought he was dead, too. Anyway, Jon Bon Jovi said that he wished that Richie Zambora could get his life together so he could be in the band. And people were just all over Bon Jovi because, you know, Heather Locklear sort of came apart not long after Richie left that tour. And I guess Richie really felt that Ava needed him, his daughter, with Heather Locklear. So it was kind of a, fuck you, asshole. I mean, in light of what happened after he left, didn't it make sense?
Yeah.
Because it was a personal thing.
You think John knew that?
Well, I think he would know it by now.
By now, maybe.
He just said it. So he was getting a lot of shit for that. And let's see what else. Well, John Lennon had his birthday Friday. Enjoyed the Elton John interview. And the Give Me Some Truth 36 song set. The Ultimate Mix is out. I don't know what the Ultimate Mix is. It's been mixed 1,000 different ways already.
Well, it's the Ultimate. It must be the last one, then.
It could be. I was enjoying it. And Sean Lennon was really good with Elton and with Paul McCartney also, as I mentioned before. So, anyway, it's Mike Clark Week, everybody. Enjoy. We'll see you.
We're being told that we need to wrap up because you have to get on to your next interview.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Jim, do you have a message before we let you go? Do you have a message to your fans and to Priest fans about your streak?
Go see the shows, man. They're great live.
It does. Here's a message.
Yeah, thanks for everybody that's been supportive. It's been fun, and I'm still enjoying it.
Wow. Sounds like everyone is involved in this. Hang on. Butt Mike wants to say something.
Wow. That was kind of a duck impersonation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jim.
That's too bad.
Yeah, okay.
Jim, congratulations on the streak. I'll be looking for you when you and Rip can do publicity together.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll see.
All right,
see
man.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, Butt Mike.
Yeah, God, Butt Mike. Wow. What was that? It was like sort of a Donald Duck impersonation there. Oh, boy.
That was really something.
Man, that really tickled. That tickled. That was a weird one. That may have come out sideways.
Where's the dad? There
we go. On the streak. I'll be looking for you when you and Rip can do publicity together.
All right.
I got to hear this.
Yeah, me too.
Sounds like everyone is involved in this. Hang on, Butt Mike wants to say something.
That was kind of a duck impersonation, wasn't it? Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll have to hear it again, but I couldn't cut off Butt Mike's message.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the translation. That was kind of a duck impersonation. Oh, my God. I've never heard of a song like that ever.
Wow. Sounds like everyone is involved in this. Hang on, Butt Mike wants to say something.
That was kind of a duck impersonation. Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life.
I'm so glad Butt Mike said get a life.
Yeah, I thought there might be a quack in there somewhere, too, but I guess not.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, my stomach. Oh. The Affleck duck. That was kind of a duck impersonation.
I can't breathe.
Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So, my stomach.
I'm so glad Butt Mike said to get a life.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. That feels so good.
Oh, here it is. One more time, please.
That was kind of a duck impersonation, wasn't it?
Say something. Mike is going to die laughing. Did that stink?
No, not at all.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, it's really good.
I saw you waving air. I didn't know if you were reviving yourself.
I'm all hot. It's just too hot in here.
That interview was a little slow on the uptake, but what an end.